Welcome back to The Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And this is 2018, not part one, the whole damn thing, because off the top, this was the most boring year of Taylor Swift's career. Madeline, do you concur?
I definitely concur. Earlier this morning, I was asking myself off the top of my head what happened in 2018, and there was a cricket in my head going, cricket, cricket, cricket. Literally, tour. That's it. Rep tour. And Gorgina, by the way, but that's it.
Other than that, I mean, not to get you too excited about the episode by telling you how boring this year was, but I mean, we're going to have fun with it as we always do. But there is something interesting about this year being so sparse. We were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but when we're looking back at Taylor's career, especially like having, I mean, this is what, like 5 years off now, basically. Having hindsight for this is kind of crazy. Like, this is the least busy and booked year of her career that she's ever had, including when she was much less famous. I guess it's because when you're less famous, you have to work harder at being famous. Mm-hmm. But this impacted the success of Reputation. I really do think if she had a bit more of a heavy hand, which kind of goes against the marketing that she put forward for it, but she definitely could have done more. And we see at several points throughout this year specifically that she just kind of said, I need my London boy.
She said, I need my London boy. She also was like, in the opinion that like she wasn't gonna be, through my eyes, like thinking about, especially having like the information of what she said during the Lover era, like this is the last time I'm gonna be this successful, et cetera, et cetera. I think she was thinking like, I don't wanna be a pop star anymore. It's over. Pack it up. I'm done. I wanna go to the lakes. I think she really did have a period of her life where she was thinking that. Mm-hmm. And that's her right. But
this was that period of time. If I had to describe it in three words, I would say boring, stale, and cricket.
I would describe 2018 as tumbleweed, you know, blowing across the road. I would describe 2018 as I was busy. I was busier than she was. Me busier than Taylor, period.
This was the year that you think.
Yeah, this was the year that I got together with Mason. Literally two months into 2018. Oh, yeah. I was
no Swiftieism.
I was not a Swiftie. And I didn't need to be, it turns out.
Clearly, if there was a year that you could be tuned out and not miss that much, it really was this year. And well, I saw, this sheds a lot of context and light on her feeling like she was declining in the Lover era, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because she kind of was.
I mean, the Rep Tour was very successful. I think Reputation, she still sold 1 million copies in a week, so that's great. But, like, in terms of, like, cultural impact, like, pop culture moment, she had Look What You Made Me Do, and that was kind of, like, a really big moment for her, and then that was kind of it.
In 2017. 2018, nobody moved.
Nobody moved.
Literally. Including Taylor. So this is what she wanted. I feel like at this point she was like truly burned out as well. Like a lot of the reticence to participate in her own career this year was giving, I need an actual break, not just like 6 months off and then new marketing strategy. Like I need an actual break. But, you know, another day, another dollar.
She was out there peddling. She did what she had to do.
She had to get her ass up and sing. She literally had to do that. Well, let's start in January. And I hate to say it, but the beginning of this year starts with, I don't even know if we've mentioned this properly in the yearly format, but it starts to become a thing now, is Kaler. And this is, to me, the first time that Gaylerism really went mainstream. But even Jennifer Lawrence, noted enemy of the internet at this point, is giving interviews like in public and asking what's really going on with Karlie Kloss and Taylor Swift.
She's like a, the thing about J-Law, which is like so awkward because like she generally is like very like anti the fact that she's famous and that people are interested in her. She's like a fucking gossip. Every time I see her, did you see her interview about Erika Jayne? She said, she was like, Erika Jayne is evil. She's like, Erika Jayne is like one of the most evil people, blah, blah, blah. And then Erika Jayne responded,
You can't be doing that.
And then she goes, I just want, you know, my privacy, et cetera, et cetera. It's like,
Taylor was also like kind of friends with her a little bit, at least when The Hunger Games was coming out.
Right.
So I think it hits different when someone like that is doing this speculation in public. So concerning sign of the times. We should have known.
I think Jennifer Lawrence also is like one of those people who's like, this is funny. And it's like, mm-hmm. Does everybody think it's funny? Or is it just you?
Or is it
Taylor?
Or would
laughing?
It be funny if we were in a bar and you weren't on TV right now?
Exactly.
Would it be funny?
Yes. Yes. Her like,
but
I'm
you're
every woman
on TV.
But it's like, no, you're not. You have a mm-mm. microphone in your hand. You have a microphone in your hand.
Says us who are notably very thoughtful about what we say when we have microphones in our hands.
Right.
But I suppose that the Kaler speculation is, I don't want to say Taylor's fault, but it definitely is. I think the reason why this started up was because there was a very sudden phase out of Carly specifically and of a lot of the fake friends that we saw her with throughout the year of hashtag squad propaganda. So, you know, she's talking about real friends all the time and now her supposed bestie is missing. And Carly's birthday message was simply just happy, happy birthday. Well, cricket. Something happened. It's not, I don't want to give the Gaylers any space here. I think truly, I mean, I think there's a Scooter Braun of it all at play here. Like this time.
Yeah.
When absolutely. Secret information was being brought to enemy lines. And then at the end of the year, we find out that the enemy lines have received the information. That's what I think happened. But again, it's speculation. And also Carly is pictured having sushi with Katy Perry, which they're not made up. If you can believe it. At this point, they are not yet made up. 3 years strong.
Pathetic, by the way. And I'll say it, not on Katie's part. For some reason, Katie's the one who has to grovel for forgiveness.
She which is the one whose career time. Gets ended, and she has to send a literal olive branch. I mean, come on
now. It
was
now. Wrong.
I mean, her power.
It was dirty and wrong.
Taylor's power. Taylor's power. That's the voodoo. It is. When we talk about Tay Voodoo, Katy Perry is like,
she's
unfortunately, the prime
blueprint.
Example.
She's the blueprint. She is
even more
suffered
than the boyfriend
than anybody knows.
Because
oh yeah,
Kay didn't even really do anything. If we're really getting into it, she didn't really do anything.
So, she did the worst thing that stupid. You could possibly do to Taylor, which is that she dated Taylor's ex-boyfriend. Which, I mean,
not great.
Of all the ex-boyfriends,
but were they best friends? Yeah, I mean, that one hurt. But we were never honest about why the feud happened. We tried to make it about something else. That's what's stupid to me. But,
well, like,
you know,
say,
they've let it go. They've let it go. So,
we release.
I mean,
we release.
I mean, we don't. They can.
Well, we never do. We never do.
In the midst of this, the Endgame music video comes out. This is the third official single from Reputation. It kind of flopped. It peaked at number 18 on the Hot 100, and it had very little chart staying power. I know that you love the song personally, Madeline, but what do you think of it, like, strategically in the rollout of Reputation? Do you think it should have been the third single? What were your feelings about it?
I think that it could have potentially been like more successful, but she wasn't really promoting it. The music video sucked. Like, let's be honest with each other. Mm-hmm. It made no sense for the song. Like, there's some cute, like, it's kind of like a vibey music video, which is fine. But it's like, if you had made it a little bit more interesting and like a little bit more silly and camp like the song is, then it probably would have done a lot better. I mean, Future was having a moment during this period of time. So it's like,
he was. And so was Ed Sheeran. Unfortunately, right. For the rest of the world, he was doing pop terrorism. So, I mean, this was, if you think about it, genetically engineered to be a hit. And maybe that's why it didn't quite land, because her whole thing was, you're so calculated. And Endgame was the most like trend chasing example on Reputation, I would say, like with the rapping and the future of it all and having Ed Sheeran. Also, just a little bone to pick that I have with this music video. She misses the opportunity to say, here's the truth from my red lips with a red lip on. She's got a peachy pink gloss.
Yeah, it's
what's
like a nude
you?
Lip. That's really
what's
the funniest
wrong,
part. Like, I could accept a pink lip. I could accept a purple lip. But a nude gloss lip. Mysterious.
And she's the most literal person in the world. So it shocks me that queen of like heavy-handed imagery would miss such an opportunity to do something so heavy-handed.
I also wonder if she was like actively trying, like with the Reputation videos in specific and Endgame, to like not be referential to like being a teenager anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because my first thought, mm-hmm. Endgame music video is cheerleader. That's my very first thought. And I wonder if she was just like, I just don't want to do that because I want to be a grown woman now. Like 1989 was kind of like, it wasn't young to me. I'm not saying that, but it was definitely not like, I'm a grown ass woman. Does that make sense? And then of course with Lover, that all went out the window. But with Reputation, she was like, I'm grown now and I'm serious and the old Taylor's dead. So she couldn't put on her little cheerleading outfit and give us what we wanted. I don't.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I'm just having this thought now as we're discussing it. I feel like her confidence was super low this year, which is why she was also laying low. We've talked about this before. Like the whole promotional cycle, she was like wearing these big sweatshirts and like these like wide fitting pants, which she had never really done before. Like it was clear that she was like not feeling her best, I would say. And also she'd obviously had a very public dressing down and had been canceled, etc., and was coming back very wounded and not at all healed. So I think that a lot of the stuff, a lot of the Reputation like visuals and public performance feels a bit defensive. And I think if she did it now, she has more of a sense of humor about herself. So it would be like camp and funny and like irreverent, like the Reputation set is on the tour. But at the time, I feel like she was just taking it too seriously. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. The Endgame video is mysteriously serious for what it is.
For the that's song the thing. As well.
Yeah.
This is a Kiki. We're at the Kiki Lounge. It's I'm on the motorcycle. It's not that.
By the time tour started, she realized, like, the song is ridiculous. And, like, you can tell by the performance that she knew that it was asinine. Which is, I mean, I love the song. I'm an Endgame Barb, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not supposed to be like, look at me serving cunt in Japan.
I'm sexy.
It's like,
no, that's not.
No, that's not it.
It's more similar in spirit to London Boy than it is to Look What Made Me Do. And she failed to realize that. Look What Made Me Do is serious. That is cunt being served. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Endgame is Louis V up on Bond Street, lol. That's what Endgame is.
Yeah. And
she failed to realize that.
She flopped on that
one. She really flopped. Another Joseph Kahn music video. I mean, he did his best, I suppose, with the treatment that he was given. And my favorite part of the video was when it was over. But I did actually like the scene of her on the double-decker bus and in that big blue, like, furry jacket. That was kind of cunt. That was a moment of
I
cunt.
I did like that. There are some really, really good looks in the video. Like the furry jacket look with the big earrings and the ponytail is actually like really, really good. It's just not featured prominently enough, which I think was a mistake because she looked really good. In spite of the bare lip of it all, I actually think she looks really good in that scene too. But it's always sullied by the fact that she ruins the lyric. I like when she's biting the straw. I think that's... You know, she's like grimacing at the camera, like, this is so serious. Reputation precedes me. Oh.
It's like, okay. You know what? It's really giving, like, when on America's Next Top Model, they force them to make music videos and pretend to be pop stars.
Oh, yeah. It's always bad.
It's like, you're so pretty. And that's kind of the only feedback that I have for you on this performance. You're Gorgina. You're so pretty.
Great.
She's prepping for tour at this moment, posting Instagrams of rehearsals with the band and her cats in various compromising positions. This was it. This was our life. It was, here's my microphone. Here's my cat stretching. Yeah. And that's all. Period.
This and was a period off. Of time. Cat was her personality type. Her personality type is that right there. You see that? That's who she was.
That's Chester.
That's just the cat
lounging around.
And I remember being like, I love cats, obviously. I mean, I'm a human being just like anybody else is. But I was starting to feel like this is getting kind of like embarrassing because like cat is not a personality.
Well, her identity this year was cat and Democrat, which is a
cat,
really interesting
Democrat girlfriend.
Conversation. Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't even get to see the girlfriend part because the turkey was so insistent on hiding her away and keeping himself hidden away. So it literally was just cat, microphone, weird music video, tour, and I'm a Democrat. Marsha Blackburn, you should die.
Marsha Blackburn, when I catch you, I was just like, I will get you in my paws and I will scratch you up. Because in only a mere... In
That's
a mere year,
part.
Literally, she becomes a cat. like, that's the fucked up thing of it all. She literally does become a cat.
She manifested it, sadly, for us. And Kat has always been part of her personality, but this year it was Catwoman.
It was really giving, I'm not really going out and hanging out this year. I'm at home with the cats.
And I need to tell you that. And you need to know that that's where I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We get it.
Yeah, we got
After picture 10, we got it. So in March, yes, we're going straight from January to March because she was Gone Girl. She rather quickly announces that Delicate will be the fourth and final single from Reputation, with the music video set to premiere at the iHeart Music Video Awards on the 5th of March. She has been very quiet for this first half of the year. Truly, as we said, there will be no expectation. There will just be Kat, Democrat, and tour rehearsal. Taylor visits a falconry in Big Sur with Joe Alwyn. I literally can't believe I'm saying that sentence. Why am I reporting this to thousands of people? Taylor visits a falconry in Big Sur with Joe Alwyn.
What? I need to know, for like, what? When was she like, let's go check out the Falcons?
What level of boredom did they reach? It's like all the things that you can do with Ms. Moneybags, and you go
to the Falcon, to
let a hawk land on your arm. Why? It's everything about this year, cricket, question mark. Bored and jobless people are, of course, connecting this to Kaylor somehow. She is also seen hiking with him in Malibu, and that was their bag. If you think about it, their whole relationship was walk.
They did that a lot. And I guess at the time, like, I didn't find it super strange because I like to go on a walk. But, like, in hindsight, like, she doesn't really do that.
She's not a walker. She's not a hiker.
That's not
her identity. I think she was really film photography and walk.
Which is, like, so – that's Joe Alwyn. That's him. I know that he's behind the walks. I mean –
Taylor, unfortunately, is that girl that, like, makes her entire personality whatever her boyfriend's personality is. Sadly, that's not to say she doesn't have a personality. It's just to say that she inhabits traits of her partners when she's with them. I mean, Taylor Swift, football enjoyer. People really have been trying to convince us that she is this diehard, studious football expert. And I hate to break it to you that this fascination would not be currently happening if there wasn't a certain tight end in the situation.
And it's so funny. They, of all the people who has a microphone put in their face and asked about Taylor Swift, even more than Travis Kelce, is Patrick Mahomes. Taylor Swift, anybody? And he's always ready to give a quote. Do you remember when he was like, she should be like a coach? Patrick Mahomes is like, she's a genius. She should be a coach.
She's drilling like, plays with us. Just shut up, girl. Just say you want the free press and go.
Right before his charity event, too, he was like, she's a genius.
Well, yes.
He learned from her. We have to raise money for
the kids. what she's really giving them lessons about is how to get headlines. That's what she's telling them. Those are the plays that they're drilling backstage.
Those are the plays.
She's not saying you get on your tippy toes and go to this line. No.
Well, you see that Travis just got cast in a fucking Ryan Murphy show, so it's working.
And
period. I don't remember period. Conversations with friends, you know, being
done by Ryan no Murphy offense. Or being of interest no to offense. Anyone.
Right.
So the Delicate music video comes out. I think this video surprisingly has aged well. I had a really negative response to it when I first saw it because it just was not what I was expecting. Like, it started good. And then when she started making faces in the mirror, I was like, I don't know where this is going. And then it went in a direction that was so unexpected to me. I watched it with my mom because at this point, like, I was like trying to get my mom like to be a Swiftie. And I was like, Taylor's putting out this huge new music video. She never does anything anymore. Like, her music videos are huge events. And we watched it in silence. And my mom turned to me after and was like, that wasn't very good.
She was like, I think I'm done being a Swiftie for the year. Wake me up in 2020.
She was like, I don't get it. She was like, what's it about? And I was like, that's a really good question. It does have a concept. Wordless Taylor becomes invisible and dances around like no one's watching. It ties into the theme of the album and also where she was in her life very well. And the scene of her dancing in the rain is iconic, but she really thought that that was choreography and it was elaborate posing. and a split. I wouldn't call that a dance routine.
She thought that she was dancing her ass off and letting everybody know that she's a savant at the dance. It's like, I find that when I say that I don't actually like this music video too much, people are like, well, you didn't get it. It's like, no, I understand it perfectly. I still think it could have been executed better. That's my genuine belief. There are some really good parts of the video.
It's shot beautifully. Way that it's shot is Gorgina. The coloring is pretty. But the video itself is just kind of like, okay, and?
Next. She really was doing the splits this year, too. Did you notice that?
She was doing the splits. She was so proud of her split.
Me too. I was like, oh, I mean, not everybody can do that.
It was a whole thing. Remember when she talked about like how big of a deal it was for her to learn how to do a split? And then she posted the rehearsal footage of her doing the dance. And I was like, we don't need to.
This is like something 12-year-old girls do at recess.
This is a family matter.
But I did like the scene where she does the splits on the car in the rain. I thought that was a beautiful shot. My problem really it's the dress. I mean, we could have worn anything and yet we wore that. I hate that dress.
It's like the Shake It Off 1989 tour dress. Just a dress, not a two-piece. Why do we want that? It's even uglier when it's a full-length thing before she takes the bottom part of the skirt off. Thank God it removed, because it wasn't good. But she looks pretty. She's giving face.
Very pretty. She's very pretty. But the other thing is that I feel like it couldn't decide whether it was going to be serious or not, the video too, which is something that bothers me. Like, you know, when it's like, this is kind of like a halfway serious concept where it's like, my life is so massive. I feel like everybody's staring at me all the time. And like this, you know, magical time when I met this guy is like where I feel like he makes me feel like I'm the only person in the room, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's kind of like a serious concept. And then she's in the mirror going, and it's like...
She's doing physical comedy, and I don't want that.
I don't want it.
The part that I thought it was really good, and I thought if we had just gone in a different direction at this point, was with the bodyguards when she, like, starts moving in sync with them. I was like, oh, we're on to something. And then it was in the elevator making funny face, and I was like. You know what was stupid? The note. The note didn't really make sense. Like, getting the note and then going to the bar. I was like, what are you trying to do here? Like, just do the dance like no one's watching thing. Just stick to that.
She has to reference the man. She has to reference him. She couldn't make the video without making it very clear.
She can't bring him on a red carpet, but she'll subliminally message that he exists to us until the day that we die. The news breaks that Charli XCX and Camila Cabello would be joining her on the Reputation Tour as her openers. How did we feel about this, Madeline?
I'm trying to remember how I felt about it. I felt positive. I was surprised by Charli XCX because XCX, what you have to know, Charli XCX of today is not the same Charli XCX that was on that Reputation tour.
Oh, no. She didn't have hits.
This was before Pop 2, was it not?
Or it was after it came out, because she did unlock it. And unlock cricket, everybody cricketed.
Right, okay.
Everybody this was before fucking she was, cricketed at Charli.
I was on my feet. Screaming, boom, clap, the sound of my heart.
But that was the only thing that she had for the audience. That was it. I cheered.
I cheered. I think that there's no scenario where this would happen again. That's the T. They will never be on a stage together again. So now it's really weird. Camila, I thought that kind of makes sense because this was, I mean, she had Havana.
We saw that coming. Like,
she was
similar
up and coming,
audience.
Pop girly. That made sense. Charli, I was surprised. I wasn't dismayed, though. I was saying, okay.
I was interested. Charli was also in an interesting place because this was before she had become like a legend. This was before she was like a cult classic. Right. That was only just starting. So I feel like she didn't even have that like super, super hardcore fan base present yet. So she was in a bit of a growing pain. And for any other artist, being the opener for a Taylor Swift tour would be like, the key to a new dimension, as it was for Camila. But for Charli, like, it's just the Swifties are not her target audience, and she looked miserable up on stage every night. She hated it. She clearly hated doing her set.
Yeah. She was always wearing that. Do you remember her Reptor outfit?
Oh, of
the
course.
The clear.
That space
horrible.
Suit.
Bad. What was she thinking?
She never changed. Well, Camila was also wearing something weird, but it was like a Victorian corset thing, high necks and like big ruffle sleeves.
Right.
But it felt on brand. I mean, Charlie's was on brand, to be fair. Space alien. That's her thing.
Exactly.
She had a fuck-ass bob. That's what I remember. She had a fuck-ass bob. Oh,
that's the thing I remember above all else. I remember
blunt
standing there.
Ass bangs. Oh, God.
Seeing her on the screen and thinking to myself, Bob.
And it doesn't suit her face. Bob does not suit Charli XCX.
No.
Charli and Taylor would have a similar dynamic as Taylor and Miley. Like, I think Taylor does not get Charli. She probably understands her as an artist, but I think like on a one-to-one base level, I cannot see them like enjoying each other's company.
No, and like they don't, Taylor doesn't really mention Charli anymore. Charli doesn't really mention Taylor anymore. Unfortunately, Charli made one semi-disparaging comment about the Rep Tour.
She'll never.
I understood.
That will never, she'll never live that down.
She'll never live that down for the Swifties. She was right. Because they didn't, the fans, I was there physically. The fans did not get
it. They had her on really early too. Like, yeah. People were not in the stadium when Charli came on.
The sun was high in the sky.
It was hot. It was daytime when Charli came on. So,
Pasadena.
I mean, it was rough for her. And also, I think you can see when they're doing Shake It Off that Camila and Taylor have a very natural dynamic. Charli is literally just there. She's like, I hate my life.
I would have
loved to have been
her head during Shake It Off.
You can see it on her face that she hated it in the Netflix movie. You can see like she like looks at Camila and like Camila's avoiding eye contact with her. It's so funny.
They were not BFF. Camila is really the one that I think Charli would not get along with. Charli would be like, fucking dumb bitch.
Well, apparently she loves her. Apparently now she loves her.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Remember?
Oh my God, everything's coming full circle.
That's because we're living in the behind times.
Boop, 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 boop. I'm like, it's all coming together. Charli is Camila. Camila is Charli.
But we were excited. We were excited about that. I was happy about these openers. Two female openers we cheered after the 1989 tour, which was the man tour. The girl boss era, but the man tour. It was Vance Joy. It was Shawn Mendes. It was All My Dancers Are Men. There was not a single woman on stage with Taylor Swift other than her backup dancers and Haim every now and again.
That was crazy. If you think about it,
she was crazy.
She learned her lesson. I tell you what, when the men flooded the stage for the 1989 Album of the Year Grammy, that was hard to ignore.
It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
But she took the notes. She took the notes. So she grid posts a Spotify billboard and gives them two exclusive performances. This is the time where she is making it up to them. They'd been punishing her for keeping her catalog off of them for so long. So she's really playing nice this year. We're getting a bunch of like Spotify exclusive videos. And she does a cover of September and a live performance of Delicate. Now, when she came out with her cover of September, I thought that it was really adorable and cute. I really like her cover of September. I don't think it's great, great music, but like it's cute and it's fun. But I remember people called her racist when this came out. Do you remember that?
I think we can all agree
of time.
In hindsight, that calling it racist is crazy. I think we can all agree. If you guys want to say boring, absolutely.
Sure.
If you want to say bad, absolutely. But it was just very strange. It's like, I don't find it. She didn't, you know, she was just a cover of a song. And she didn't.
Well, she had
like,
yet to denounce the white supremacists at this point. So I think people were still revved up about that.
Well, you know, maybe there's a point to be had about that. But cover up
maybe
September.
If we just come out and say, I'm not your RN goddess.
Right.
Maybe just say that.
But the cover up September. Come on, guys.
Like it? It's good.
I don't return to it.
I think it's cute.
It.
She's a cute girl.
It's fine. Yeah, but I don't think about it.
And
I don't think about it at all.
Well, it's not on my mind frequently.
With the little guitar strumming in the back.
The mandolin.
And she thought she was doing it. The 28th night of September. It's like, And that means okay. nothing to anybody except sure, for you and Jan. Sure, nothing. Jan.
And that's the point. This year also yep. was, I have a boyfriend. Aren't you all so jealous of me that I have a boyfriend? And also, like, I love him so much and he's such a good boyfriend that I don't need to talk about him. But also, I am talking about him. I'm just not saying his name.
Right. What he's was that? Invisible, but he's there.
What was that?
What was that?
Don't forget. I'm cuffed up. I'm getting married soon, in case you didn't know.
By the way, that, it's in the
that
books.
That really was the opposite of manifesting the Cats movie. The opposite of that. So a co-writer of the song calls her cover as lethargic as a drunk turtle dozing under a sunflower after ingesting a bottle of Valium. That's a creative read.
It was delicious. A read. It was a read. And it was their right to feel that way. Like there was nothing personal. It just said mm-hmm. the cover is not great. That's and it's boring.
It wasn't your racist. It was just no. this is not interesting. And that's true.
No. I mean, September is like one of the greatest like disco dance hits of all time. And Taylor said, hey, do you guys have yet to my boyfriend? So it's kind of like, I get it why the creators Cricket. Would be like, no, but it meant something to her. And you know what? I don't think she deserved to be on the cross.
We clap.
I don't think she deserved she to be on the cross.
So professionally, what she has going on for her at this point is that Delicate is slowly becoming like a bit of a radio sleeper hit. And at the time, it's always hard to put ourselves in these shoes because what we know now, but keep in mind, you know, this is a historical record, girlies. At the time, to me, it really seemed like, and for quite a while afterwards, Delicate was going to be the only kind of enduring single beyond Look What You Made Me Do that would like enter into the public canon of Taylor Swift. Obviously, now everything is in there. But at the time, Delicate seemed like the only thing that had real traction because Ready For It and Endgame kind of flopped. So it was promising, but also it was kind of like, damn, took you till the fourth single to get another hit. That's not Taylor Swift. Who's that?
That's not the Taylor that we know. And I remember being surprised that Delicate was doing well. to tell you the truth. I've been like, this is the one that's landing? Okay.
Well, she should have. Well, the critics responded really well to it. So I'm kind of like, we should have just pushed this out more quickly. Because also it does show a more like vulnerable old Taylor side on the Reputation record. So it's like we should have just done that and then made Ready For It the third single instead. Then we could have gone back to slaying the house down boots.
Ready For It as a second single made no sense. I'll say
it was too much
scared.
Too soon.
Yeah.
It was too much too soon. And this is coming from number one Ready For It stan.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if I could go back in time, if I could change one thing about the rap era, it would be Ready For It, not as a single. It should be a single, but new video, new place in the timeline, et cetera, et cetera.
Good performance, now, please.
I mean, thanks to the Eras Tour, Ready For It is like the girl. To me, like that is Reputation. To me, like that is the era on the Eras Tour. Is Ready For It, and
but at the
it
time,
really wasn't that way. Not for years because
it was
she
Look
treated
What You
it
Made
like
Me
dirt.
Do, yeah. and Delicate. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Sadly, this is the month of the Parkland shooting. Taylor makes a long Instagram post about her donation. She does not attend the fundraiser that was organized by Scooter Braun, attended by Miley, Ariana, and Demi. So Scooter organized this, and this would later become a point of contention in the master recording saga. He portrays her non-involvement in this as selfish or whatever, and she says her version of events is that her team knew not to bring anything he was involved in to her in the first place. But this was kind of her first testing the waters of like being political, because she was very like openly calling for gun reform. But again, she kind of takes the most obvious stance when it's most opportune. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of her political move.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, that was, I mean.
Not that it's wrong, but that's kind not of, that she waits wrong. Until everyone else says it first, and then she'll be like, me too. She's not going to come out and be like, this is what I really think. Not that, and I don't, right. I'm not saying she should do that. I'm not saying she should do that. But this is kind of the way that she conducts herself. But she's always posting, Madeline.
She's always posting. And this is an example of how she's always been posting. Yep, first example, she's always posting.
Right. You know what? It's probably less than 10. If we're looking at the examples of all, then all, like I'm always posting, it literally is probably 10. and I love that for her.
But then let's get into the tea of how often has she been always posting about Jeannie and Georgia jokes, for example? How often is she always posting about, you know, Damien Albarn from fucking Blur?
I was gonna say the Blur frontman, always posting about that. What about the Kanye phone call? We're always posting about that.
She's posting always. What about Thank You, Amy?
There are things she posts more about than that. I'm always posting. That's the funniest thing she's ever done. April. She's posting various photos of her in rehearsal, and it's announced that she has written a song called Babe that will be featured on Sugarland's new album, which is set to come out in June. Babe is co-written with Pat Monahan of Train fame. Heard of it. And I think that the Sugarland version, like, arrangement of it is actually so much better than what we got on Taylor's version. And it's interesting to me that Better Man and Babe were the songs that she was willing to give up from her catalog, because at this point, no one knew the Taylor's Version project was even going to exist. And these songs were probably, in her mind, like, never going to see the light of day otherwise. And these are some, like, real jewels. I would have been like, here's Message in a Bottle, Sugarland, enjoy. I would have kept the crown jewels for something else. But I wonder if Scott was, like, brokering those deals, because all of the artists that she gave these songs to were Big Machine artists.
I also have always wondered this. I remember thinking this at the time and it freaked me out that, like, she was going to start going into the shadows and being a songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember writing for thinking other that people. And being like, like, I would have, because I hate Sugarland. That's my tea. I might have liked the Better Man and Babe arrangements, or Little Big Town, or whatever the fuck. But
if it wasn't
Little
them.
Big Town had Better Man and then Babe had Sugarland. I fucking hate Sugarland, and I've hated Sugarland since
really?
Day one.
What's Jennifer your beef Nettles, with them? I don't even know what they do.
That
what
woman
do they do?
Needs
What's their song?
A fuck. What do you do to the nose to make it open up so that you don't sound like a nasally? She needs to have that done.
Oh, like a septum. like a septum reconstruction.
Yeah, right. I cannot stand her. Oh my god, it's personal. It's personal.
It's personal.
I hate them.
Clearly,
Little Big Town is fine.
I
however,
love the arrangement. It's fun. If you, and now I, what? Also, Taylor sounds good in it. She wasn't in it enough, but she was in it. Actually, I think also at this point, the song hadn't even come out. Had it in April? I think she just announced it. But this song did pretty good for country radio. And I also wonder, like, with Better Man and also Babe, the other thing that I had on top of, is she going to start writing for other people and go away? I thought she was maybe soft launching or floating a return to country post-Reputation for a while, just to see if, like, her songs could still get traction there, win back some love with country radio. I mean, it worked.
It worked. I mean, they were saying, yay!
They're in no position to say no to Taylor Swift.
They really aren't.
They never
That's
turned on her. Weirdly. They never turned on her. And she literally said bye, and they still didn't turn on her.
Left them in the dust, and they've been struggling ever since.
Meanwhile, Casey Musgraves is yeeing and hawing all over these United States, and they won't even put her near a country radio.
What did she do that pissed them off again so bad?
Be a liberal?
Well, what about
like
Taylor?
That literally is the only thing. Well, but Taylor is Taylor is respectable. She's like not in your face.
Oh, right.
She,
and Casey Taylor, Musgraves
if you think about
like...
it, Taylor has never slandered country radio. She's only ever said like effusively, sickeningly nice things about country radio and how country is her home.
That's the key.
Whereas Casey Musgraves is like, these boys club, Maren Morris too. This boys club, it's so unfair. They're racist. Have you ever heard Taylor, queen of always posting, talking about any of the systemic issues in country music?
She would never say a word. And you know what?
America's daughter.
Briefly, may I say, she fucking should have, because they were trying to light her up all the time back then. They wanted her out.
Oh!
I remember that all the time.
Not real country.
Well, you know what? Kill him with kindness. It worked for her. But, I mean, to a point, it's like, maybe we could have said a little something.
These
because
aren't
it's still
loyal,
a problem.
But it's still a problem. And you know what? Taylor saying something about it, probably if there was anyone that could have really roasted them alive, it would have been Miss Swift.
Maybe,
I mean, Beyonce
you know
did
what?
A pretty good job. She's given them a couple lashings.
Oh, she's been cooking for the past six months. But, I mean, give Taylor, 10 years. Give Taylor 10 years.
When
until,
she really doesn't
know,
need it anymore.
Yeah,
when
like,
she's
you know
finally
what?
Like, I really am done with country. Like, I really
she's gonna
am.
Like reveal
we're finished.
Like these crazy like behind the scenes stories of things that happened to her and like other women that she knew. I'm ready.
But where's the book?
10 years, baby.
Where's the book? I can tell you there isn't gonna be a chapter in this book called 2018. That's what I know for sure. I know that for sure.
No.
So in May, it's time for tour. She says she's never been this excited for a tour before, but she's always saying that. And Glendale, Arizona is the sacrificial lamb as per usual. She does her final dress rehearsal for an adoption charity, which was adorable. And she had a bunch, like they all got to come and watch the show in an empty stadium, which was really cool. And then she met them all afterwards. Queen of kindness.
I know somebody who was there.
Really?
Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah.
How?
I'm not smiling, by the way. It's actually it's actually Mason's boss smiling. At Mason's boss at work.
Did he get to meet
there
her?
Was like some he w- there was somebody that she knows that was like on the crew or the production team or something like that. That's like local that lives here, which is bizarre, by the way. But it happened, and she was there. She's in that picture. Yeah.
Oh, she should have been. We got to come for her. We got to Photoshop her out of that. Goodbye. Thanks for coming.
Listening to this, like, you said you wanted to Photoshop me out of my picture with Taylor. If you're listening to this, it's a joke. I'm not Photoshopping you out.
I said it. Madeline
should it have been me? Absolutely, but that's neither here nor there.
This tour, Very Hallelujah, features the return of the surprise song. She abandoned it for 1989, but she came to her senses. Thank you, Jesus. And this was a real deep dive into the discography. She was going back and pulling songs that she had not done in a very, very long time. Breathe was done for the first time ever.
Yeah. Well, I was happy because I was I didn't know what the set was going to be because my show was like fourth or fifth and I was offline. So I had no clue what was going to happen. I think I knew like Ready For It opened the show.
Oh, it was all a surprise?
Yeah. I didn't know Long Live was going to happen. Let me tell you. That sent me to the moon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Back then it would have. What were your surprise songs again? You got Red?
I got Red.
Oh, sorry, it was just one. I'm so used to it being two. No, it was just one. One old song.
I was happy with Red.
Red is good. Red is a good one to get. I got Welcome to New York in New Jersey, a perplexing decision that she continues to make. Just go to New York and do a show there. Why do we have to do Welcome to New York in New Jersey? Stop. And Enchanted. So I won with Enchanted in the rain.
Yeah,
that was a good
one. That's a good one.
What are our favorite looks from the rep tour, Madeline? I mean, the bodysuit. The bodysuit and the hood. Girl.
That's the first thing. Absolutely, Gorgina.
Work, mama.
Let me see. What's another one that I really – I like the dress outfit. The one that she puts the thing on. I think that's really cute. My least favorite look is probably the rainbow delicate dress that she also does Shake It Off in, I believe.
Interesting. Okay.
I just think it's
there were variations
too...
of that too.
Yeah. Right?
There was like a blue
one
and a
that's like
pink one.
There's blue something about like the almost. Tones of the color. You know how there's different like layers and tones? There's one that's like
this
darker.
Color palette in general of all the garments on this tour is not her best. I feel like it was too heavy almost. Like her in that much black and like khaki and like mulberry red.
Yeah.
Not her colors.
I just saw, you know how people are really into like people's color palettes and like tones and stuff like that?
I recently was watching that today, Madeline. Yeah. And someone was like, these dark colors wash her out.
Yeah. So I was like all of her like that Met Gala outfit with the slicked hair back.
Mm-hmm. And the dark black, lip, that always does her in.
Yeah, she that no
drop the ball.
Drop the ball. But yeah,
I loved the getaway car blazer. Very reminiscent of like
oh
the
my
man
God.
Blazer.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that bodysuit. Mm-hmm. This is why we can't have nice things. And the getaway car
shimmery
blazer
kind of looks like scales.
It's Gorgina. I love that outfit. Yeah.
Did you like the jacket? The famous jacket, the green jacket with all the patches on it.
Yes, I liked it, but it's not something that. I'm like, I need to recreate it. You know, like everybody's always trying to recreate it. And like,
it's not something
it's so,
that I would personally buy for myself if I
it's
would
also
bought it,
not
I would back on the
like,
rack.
People always treat it like it's the look from the Reputation Stadium tour. And I'm like, no, the look is the Ready For It bodysuit. And we already knew that. Thanks for
it is,
bringing
with
your
the hood up.
Yeah, it
Come
is.
Come on, girls.
With the hood up. That's
and we
the look.
Saw an absolutely Gorgina replica of that at Chicago. We
it
both
was
stopped
scary.
In our tracks and we said, this girl
there was like,
is serving.
It was one of those moments where it's like, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah, we were
dead.
Both like, fuck this bitch.
Yeah,
she looked
she
so
looked
good.
Really hot. Like, she was
she
really
looked amazing.
Like,
she and she had the corset and everything.
She had the body to
in.
Do it. I should have killed her.
Legs out. tights on. Yep. She had those Shein snake tights that every girl and their mother was wearing. Let's go through the set list. So my hot take on this is that this is one of her weirdest set lists of all time. Like, just the way that the songs go is so strange to me. And also, as I'm looking at it now, I'm like, wow, it's so short. But that's just because we've been poisoned by the Eras Tour being so long. But the opening, I mean, the opening number where she gets pushed out on that little thing, excellence.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Speaking in tongues, that's like one of my all-time favorite tour openers ever.
And the intro video. Just, how can we forget that? Reputation. Taylor Swift's Reputation.
That is when I also did not know about that. So to say that I was losing my fucking mind, Reputation. Instead, we're going to talk about Taylor Swift's Reputation. I was like,
Reputation. It was everything.
I was going nuts. It's so good. It still makes me like, I get chills like I'm there every time I watch it.
That and the Speak Now tour monologue intro, those two things really just, they stand out. Mm-hmm. They really do stand out. And I mean, that was just a serve, like with all of the air blasting up. I mean, the rep flashing on the screen. It was an assault on all the senses.
It was. The snakes, that sound, but it's like the snare that sounds like a snake hissing. It's so good, by the way. We don't talk about that enough.
It was
the
everything.
Snare and Ready For It that sounds like a snake hissing. Mm-mm. Everybody, hello. I'm the only one.
We moved on too fast.
We did.
We moved on.
It's so
too
good.
Fast.
So good.
So the opening is the opening really truly is everything, and then we go into I Did Something Bad, and she does an extremely dramatic and protracted like. Drawn out version of the bridge, and wow, it's everything. Cheering. When she gets crucified and they pick her up and she's spinning around, I was burning the witches with her.
I still can't believe I saw that with mine own two eyes. I still can't. Mm-mm. I was recently watching my tour videos and I was like, I cannot believe I was there and I saw that and I lived. I survived
to tell the tale. Goddamn tale.
Oh, it's so good. I Did Something Bad. Reptor.
The choreography on the Rep Tour is really good,
it's
too,
really
as well.
Good.
The choreography is, I'd say, probably best of all her tours ever. Yeah. And she had some hot-ass dancers. Her dancers were looking hot on this.
There were some good-looking individuals.
Outing of hers. Yeah. Then we have Gorgeous, which, you know, is there. It's a fun moment. The stage is a little bit weird, the main stage, because it really is catwalk. Like, there isn't like a main middle part of the stage. And if you don't know, there was the snake pit. Is that what it was called? Snake pit?
I think
which
something
was like
that.
Two pit sections at the front of the stage, and they were really expensive. Well, and back then it was a VIP package. It was $700. Right. And I remember people going fucking crazy when they got to their sections because the stage for Rhett was unusually high, and also she spends almost no time there. Like, she's at the end of the catwalk or she's on those two B stages for most of the show, so they literally only got to see her like during Ready For It and like some of Call It What You Want. Girls,
the danger of like buying tickets before you know like what the stage really looks like and how where she's gonna be with the Eras Tour. It's like, I would have thought that, like, I mean, going back in my mind, I think everybody kind of figured correctly, assumed, like, oh, she's going to spend most of the time, her time in the diamond. Because when you look at it, mm-hmm. that makes the most sense. But, like, imagine being one of the girlies who had, like, front row at the very front of, like, the actual stage. And you're just staring at what
you
Paul
see her for
Sidoti
2 minutes.
All night.
And you can only see her from, like, knee up. Like, you can't even really see her. And she's wearing a hood. So, girl. I wouldn't
Lesson
be
learned.
Happy about that.
No.
I mean, the screens were incredible. And they were some engineering feat as well. Like, there had never been screens.
They were awesome.
Big, but they were really cool. I remember that a lot of the people that were sat on the sides were really not happy with the screens, though, because of the way that they, like, cut off the stage a little bit.
Right.
There was some controversy about, like, who could see what where in general with this tour.
To me, it's like there's always somebody. There's always somebody who's getting something that I didn't like about my side view at Eras was that on the little screens they have on the side, they don't show the backdrop. So like when I was in Seattle and I had
side view.
So you're
just looking at her face the whole time.
You're just looking at her the whole time, which is, I mean, it was good, but it's like I felt like Mason. Well, because it was Mason's first one and I feel like he missed out on a really big part of the show, which is the visuals on the big screen. I mean, as if he's
crazy,
you know, as if he gives a rat's fat ass, by the way. But I care. I care what he sees.
You care. He needs to experience it with you. But luckily, we have round two. And yeah, you'll be seeing those screens.
Yeah. There's always somebody who's not seen what they want to see. You know what I mean? So
after Gorgeous, we get into the world's most perplexing medley of all time. Style into Love Story and You Belong With Me. Now, the Netflix movie, when she starts doing Style, it is one of the cuntiest things I've ever seen in my entire life. The way that she stomps and wiggles and stares, like, that is show business. That's the entertainment industry. It is everything to me. But she cuts it. She cuts it short. She won't give Style its moment ever. I don't understand why she keeps doing this to it. It's one of those songs that is best enjoyed in full as well, because it builds and it just gets better and better. So I loathe her. I loathe her for cutting it every single time. Then we get into Love Story and You Belong With Me. And this is the first time that we hear, I think, Love Story and You Belong With Me in lowered keys. They're lowered and they're mashed up together. And it was really fun. I remember, because we didn't really have with the 1989 tour any old Taylor moments, because she reworked everything to be 1989-ified. So it was really nice to just hear them as God intended, basically, and jump up and down. We cheered.
Yeah. I really like Love Story and You Belong With Me mashed up. I remember that sent me to the moon. Mm-hmm. And frankly, as long as she keeps in the best parts of the songs, I don't see why we're not just doing that. You know what I mean?
Well, like, say that.
I'm biased because, like, I've been to most,
we've
almost
seen
all
the songs
tours,
so many times.
I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it. So it's like, my opinion is like, give me the bridge to the end of You Belong With Me and I'm happy. I really don't need the verses anymore at this point.
Actually, that's so true. Love Story, I am kind of demanding to hear in full, though. Unfortunately, that needs to be start to finish. Classic. Like, we need it all. And of course, after You Belong With Me, she kills the old Taylor right up top in the beginning of the show. And this is the first moment where I was like, why are we doing Look What You Made Me Do, track 5 in the set list? I was like, what is this doing here? Like, why are we doing this now? Didn't make sense to me. I didn't like it.
To you.
To you.
It makes sense to me, like, right after Love Story and You Belong With Me.
I get it, but I was like, what are we closing with? If we're not closing with this and then we have Shake It Off, what the hell are we going to close with? And what the hell did we close with? You know, it's a different conversation.
You're losing me.
I know. Losing me. I know. She rises up from under the stage in an extremely cunty manner. Very, very cunty.
I love this performance of Look What You Made Me Do is so good. Everything, the harmonies in specific are really good.
It could have been, but she ruined it. With Tiffany Haddish. She completely flopped with that. It wasn't funny. It wasn't cute. There was no context. It was literally just, oh, here's Tiffany Haddish.
The silence in the stadium every time, too. I remember that.
Literally. And like, also, it was such an obvious miss, because, like, people want to scream that. People love that lyric. Like, it's fun. But again, this goes back to, I think, her not really being confident, her not selling the Reputation concept fully. She was a little embarrassed by it, especially that one line. I could tell that she was, like, unsure of it because she got roasted for it. But thank God she came around. Thank God.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, in hindsight especially, it's like, why Tiffany Haddish? Does anybody know?
Like, if it was Ed Sheeran, even, I would be like, okay, sure, why not?
Or like, I don't know. You know,
Taylor
can't really
come to the phone right now.
Can you imagine if, like, Katie and Taylor had made up by this point, and there was Katy Perry? Oh, that would be so delicious.
Now that cuntiness at the highest order.
That would be.
But she was allergic to serving.
She was allergic to serving.
Nope. Don't want, in that moment, she was allergic to serving. Then we have Endgame and King of My Heart. I think the staging is really cool in this part of the show. There's that, like, moving thing.
The drums. Yeah. Looks really good.
It's fun.
I live.
I have not much to remark upon other than that. Delicate, she flies over the crowd on that machine. A waste of time. Delicate has not had a good performance yet.
You mean even on the Eras Tour? Or you mean up to
this
point?
Including the Eras Tour. There hasn't been an interesting Delicate performance, I should say.
I feel like Delicate lends itself to just, like, being kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be great if she put it on the piano. One day if she did it on the piano and, like, made it, like, a really romantic moment. She's still trying to serve cunt on the Eras Tour doing Delicate. And it's like, I mean.
It's not the cunt machine. It's like the one moment on Reputation that's not the cunt machine.
This is being recorded before the European leg kicks off, like literally the morning we don't know happens. So we don't know,
girls. We don't know.
So if you're like, Delicate's not on the set list anymore, well, it was. I can tell you it was.
And if it's gone, we're not crying.
I'm not crying if it's gone. I'm cheering and I'm clapping like a seal.
I'm saying, make room for Guilty as Sin, bitch. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Shake It Off, doing that in the middle of the set is an interesting choice to make. To me, I remember being very upset at the time that this was not the closer. But I guess that was just a personal issue. Dancing With Our Hands Tied and So It Goes being alternately played was an excellent decision.
I don't want to talk about that.
No,
why would you say that to me? If you know how I feel, why would you say that? She will never forget in her life that she never played So It Goes live for me. For the only person on planet Earth. I think really,
that cares.
The only person on planet Earth that gets it. And she said, no, not for you.
Not for her. Back Dancing to this with her bitch hands that had a lot to say about me the other day in the press. Goodbye. Then we get Blank Space, which is like her walking song. This was the moment in the show where she walks through the crowd and grabs people's hands. And a delusional trend started at this time of people who had met Taylor Swift before printing out 4x4 images of them with Taylor and standing there shoving their photos of them with her in her face. What do you expect her? Why? This baffles me.
That's my thing.
For
That's
what?
My thing.
What do you think she's gonna
Everybody,
do?
Everybody, nobody likes it. Nobody likes
no
that
one.
People did that.
Everyone around
Everybody
you
hated
hates it.
It.
Taylor yeah. didn't respond ever to anyone doing
well, imagine
that.
Imagine you are just a person and oh my God, you get to be right there and she's gonna walk right past you and the girl next to you is doing this. So you have her picture in your face when you could be making direct eye contact
dead.
With Taylor. I would be like,
she'd be dead.
Outside the stadium,
I would grab it out of
you
her
and
hands.
Me, I'm taking my, I'm putting no, my be, rings on. Earrings off, and I'm going to beat your fucking ass. Was it worth it?
Do you remember the people in front of us at the Eras Tour that tried to hold up that flag, and I literally intimidated them into never holding it up ever again throughout the show?
They were scared.
I tugged on
petrified.
It. I did a wig shift, like charade. Yeah. I didn't want to pull it off. I just wanted to shift it. I literally yanked it a little bit, and they never put it up again. And that's how you need to behave at concerts, because I'm sick of this behavior.
Like,
this is not your personal invitation to hang out with Taylor Swift.
No,
stop
you need
it.
To.
Although, with that being said, there is a video of Taylor going through the crowd that I took, and when I'm grabbing her hand, I yank her. I don't know what happened. I didn't yank her, but like I was holding on so tight, she had to like yank her arm away from me. And
Zachary,
that exists.
You are literally
Have
you
never
so
seen
close
this video before?
To being. No, I've never seen this video before. You are so close to being on the no-fly list.
I literally am. I'm so close. Yeah. There was that one night at the Eras Tour where I felt like her bodyguard was menacing me because he knew me from somewhere. I was having like a delusional spiral that one night when I was in the front row having a bad time. Regardless. Yeah. So I yanked her and then she got up on stage and sang Dress for me because I was, that's where I was.
Period.
I had front row when she sang Dress in that, like that specific part of the show. It was for me.
I love it. I was also closer to her. I had that B stage. It's like, I was like five rows back. So that's like the closest
I
ever
had a
was.
You had a really good
spot. I had
a
really
spot.
Good view. Perfect view. Really good view for that.
You had the binoculars on. You know what was kind of annoying about the B stages was, though, is that the sound towers were really big. And, like, because they had to support the snakes that were coming up on the inflatable snakes. Karen? Is that what you called her?
Yeah, Karen. Karen was the big one on the main stage. And then the little ones.
Then the
did
other
we
two.
Ever name them?
Carl?
We don't. They don't
Why
names.
Do I feel like one was called Carl?
Carl?
They all began with K because she was doing Kardashian shade. Well, as she should at that moment, at this moment in time, this was the appropriate time and place to be doing Kardashian slander. Every minute of it, I appreciated.
I liked it.
But after the dress performance was really good. And then we get into, I mean, that's probably the serve of the whole show, Bad Blood and Should Have Said No. I mean,
gagged me to the moon and back.
Wow.
And the mixing of it was so good.
It's
like the mashup.
Oh my God, when the guitar comes in, because the guitar comes in so much sooner than the vocal. I remember hearing it when I was delusionally watching it on Twitter the night that it came out. That part fucking gagged me.
We need to be.
Now, this is what
we
should be doing on the Eras tour.
We need to be at opening night. I'm tired of this shit.
No more sitting at home. No more watching through the screen.
No.
But this is what we should be doing on the Eras tour, interpolating songs into each other. Well, let's let the divas play together.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, I mean, if I can just make a comment, we don't have to be doing 3.5 hours. We could be doing a tight 3. And which would be Gorgina, if you just kind of gave a little bit of boop, 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 and a little bit of combining and a little bit of sewing together and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
But she doesn't want to.
I think, yeah, but she doesn't want to. She said, no, we're doing every single song from Folklore.
Ever.
And also,
every night.
I'm going to talk for 20 minutes and let you cheer for me for 15 before Champagne Problems. Every night.
The Betty story every single night. You will hear the words, and we're going to have a standing ovation for James, Augustina, or whatever the fuck his name is, and
standing
Betty.
Ovation.
These fake people. Fake people get a standing ovation. Stupid. Yep. Don't Blame Me Live. Great outfit. Great gown. Great high note.
Vocals? I went to church.
Vocals. Vocals.
And they said she can't sing. And they said she can't sing. Actually, Don't Blame Me is probably one of, if you've seen the videos of her in the studio recording it, she sounds great. Mm-hmm. She sounds great vocally. I think most of the time when she does Don't Blame Me, which is funny.
Weirdly.
It's like a hard song vocally, but I think it's right in her range. It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. So I cheer.
It doesn't seem like a huge effort for her to hit those notes, even though
she's doing
those
it.
Are effortful notes for her. Like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's knocking it out of the park every night. Long Live and New Year's Day. I did not stand for this. I said, who cares?
Oh, because
I literally
of New Year's
cricketed.
Day.
Yeah. And also she barely sings Long Live. It's like how she did it Enchanted with Wildest Dream. She didn't really do Enchanted. It wasn't a mashup
hold on,
the way that should have said no
said
and bad
that,
blood
you said,
was.
Go to jail, Crucifixion,
well,
Enchanted, Wildest Dreams.
I liked that one.
But now you're saying
I don't like it.
All right,
if it works, it works.
I'm okay with New Year's Day, Long Live. I guess because like it's like I don't think of it like New Year's Day is in Long Live. I think Long Live is in New Year's Day. And so that means that New Year's Day ceases to be the, you know, kind of flop loser moment. You know what I'm saying? Like it has a little something to it.
It's more Long Live for you than it is New Year's Day.
It is.
To me, it was New Year's Day. And I loathe that song. So it was nothing to me. Getaway Car. Now, why the hell are we sleeping on that visual? Why the hell are we not? Why was that not a music video? But I'm going to get on my robot horse and be naked was.
Mm-hmm. It's literally that tour visual is probably one of my favorite of all time of any of her tours ever. The poem.
And that's the only medium that I will accept a Taylor Swift poem in. Intro
She's
video
really good.
To, well, seven poem. Not great, but that's not a poem, I guess.
No, the seventh poem is not, I guess because
it's
like
a slam poem.
It's
There's
a song
difference.
First. It's like, it doesn't sound good when
Please.
It gets transported into
Picture
a poem.
Me.
However,
it sounds so bad.
I think that she's like generally good at reciting. And I think she has like a good, like emotive, like
a narration.
Seven is bad. But Getaway Car, hello.
Oh, Bootsina. And the, I mean, the Bootsina. Way that she did the slide in her blazer, it was
oh
everything
gosh,
to me.
Oh, gosh, I love it.
That was just her stomping around the stage, and everybody
Take
loved
me there.
It. And this was back when we had actual songs that were underrated, okay? This was before every song had a shooter, and Getaway Car was like, I mean, it wasn't the all too well of reputation, but we were really going crazy for this song. Like,
this
as soon
was for
as
the
this
fans.
One came out, instant fan favorite. The performance was for the fans. It was everything.
Well, this was also to me like during a time when there were some songs where you were like, we're never going to hear this live. There was no surprise song. There was no. And Getaway Car, I remember being surprised. I was like, no way Getaway Car's on the set list.
She put that on.
And there
on.
She was. Mm-hmm. The queen. Thank you. Thank you.
There she was. And then we get Call It What You Want, which I actually really loved this performance. I just love the song. So I liked the confetti element of it all. I liked the swanning around. That's
Do you know what my
to
tea
me.
Is? I've seen the Reptour movie like several times. I've seen it in person. I cannot remember this performance. I don't know what happens.
And for that, you will go to jail.
It's gone. It's like,
well, it's not really anything. It's like, it's just her walking around with confetti everywhere. Like, it really, she takes the jacket off. It's like Getaway Car, but without the
You're
beat
saying
and
this?
Without the blazer.
And I'm like, I've never seen
Can't
that
picture
before.
I don't know this girl. I don't know her. Well, then she gets into the fountain. There's a fountain on stage. Now, I clapped for that. I clapped for that. And she does, "We are never, ever getting back together," mashed up with "This is why we can't have nice things." Madeline is a "This is why we can't have nice things" stan. It's not a closing song. It wasn't even a single. I don't understand why we ended the show with this. Perplexing decision, truly, to me. The interpolation of "We are never" is not sufficient. I didn't like it.
Some of us got it the first time. Some of us got it the first time. I will agree. Like, I wasn't crazy about it being mixed up with "We Are Never Ever." It just seemed like a really lazy way to make sure that "We Are Never Ever" had a place on the set list.
Yeah,
and
just
if I
don't.
Have to pick,
leave it
if
out.
If I had to choose, "I Knew Your Trouble" would have been a lot more appropriate for the reputation. I mean, everybody can
well,
agree
yes.
with that.
Yes.
And
That was a shocking omission on the set list, actually,
it was.
Generally. I remember we were all very gagged that she left that off.
Yeah. It should have been there. To this day, I maintain that. And I think it would have been – it would have fit right in. I think it should have been like – really, I think the issue with Call It What You Want is that it's in a weird place on the set. Like, we're doing a finale now, and she's going, "My babies fly like a jet stream," and walking around.
That's, yeah,
that
what is
make
that?
No sense. I'm sure
she
should get
done,
the set
yeah, she
ready or something
them.
Like that.
At least,
yeah,
like Getaway Car after. But then we wouldn't get the cunty intro.
Well, we have to. Mm. Exactly. I mean, I'm sure there's reasons for all of these things. There's reasons for it all. And we're just nitpicking.
That we can't
but
fathom.
I'm saying my truth. I'm saying my truth, which is that I wanted "I Knew Your Trouble" and we should have gotten it. I like, everybody knows I really like "This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things." I liked it as the closer. I liked it. You know, I have no excuses. I can only
the
say
only
that
other
I was
options-
cheering.
For a closer for me would have been "Look What You Made Me Do" or "Shake It Off." Those are the two other ones that I was just a bit perplexed by them coming so early in the set, because the back half of the set is really loaded with Reputation stuff, like not very much old stuff at all. And typically towards the end of a show, that's when you're doing your big hits. So, I mean, it was interesting that she did something different. That is interesting. Congratulations to her. But yeah, wasn't my favorite.
I liked it. I liked it. I oddly, the part of, if I had to pick something I didn't like about it, it would probably be the fountain. I just think it's random.
Really?
I think it's supposed to be referencing
it is random.
Friends. I think that's what it's supposed to be referencing, because it's like all about like we're not
well,
friends
stop.
Anymore, et cetera, et cetera.
I thought it was about like the mansions. Like
oh,
big parties.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Like Gatsby vibes.
What the hell do we know? We don't know nothing. I saw
we
a video the
ever.
Other day. This is just proof of like how logged off I was. I saw a video the other day of one of her dancers like doing a move and accidentally sweeping her feet out from under her and her falling on her ass. And they're like laughing. And I was
oh
like,
oh my gosh,
where was
during
this?
The rep tour. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was during that performance. And I was like, when was this on the Eras tour? And I was like, oh my God, this is the rep tour. I had no memory of that. Because it's like now everything that happens on the Eras tour, every minute detail, every time she swallows a bug, every time she blinks a couple times, you know, it's like, I see it, I see it, I see it. And it's like weird to see the Reputation tour now. It's like, she's had other tours.
It's weird to think that there are things that happened from back in the day. Like, do you remember when she chipped her tooth on the Red Tour? And like, there's just no footage
Iconic.
Of that. That just lives in our brains. I've seen the footage, Iconic. But it's hard to find now.
Or the footage of the kid running on stage to shake her hand. That's crazy.
Oh, now that was everything.
She
the
literally
fact
was just
that
like.
She didn't execute him on sight. She's a braver woman than I. She really kept her cool.
She really kept her cool.
There was
I
no
been
one
freaked.
Getting on stage for Reputation Tour. She was far away.
And
ever
she
since.
Said,
far away.
Yeah, literally 1989. I remember it being a big deal where the barricade was for 1989.
There was no
like, well,
hand touching.
Somebody
people
tried
still
to,
tried
to,
it. During Bad Blood, they still tried.
Do I have a
Those
vague memory of
men.
Somebody trying to make a move on the Eras tour? Did I make that up?
Ooh,
I don't think
that's a good
happened.
Question.
If it did, it was really a failure because, I mean, come on. You can't
I was surprised that stuff hasn't been thrown at her more. I thought that would happen. But
and you know
really
what? The day it does,
very much.
The day it does, I swear to God, you will see me. These hands will come to you
what
so fast.
I find you?
It is so wrong to me. It hasn't happened in the past few months. There was like this past summer. I feel like there was a time.
Oh, with BB
Pink,
Rexha.
BB. Mm-hmm. Who else? There was somebody else. Was it Cardi B? Oh, and she said, not
oh, yeah.
me. boom. And learned that's what you should do.
Learn their lesson.
That. Oh, Halsey period. As well. It happened period. To Halsey, and Halsey also tried to leap into the crowd. Also not the one.
As she should. Not the one. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So Taylor, with the Reputation tour, I mean, it was Gorgina. She's breaking attendance and profit records all over the place, defying the idiotic assertions. And this is what we had to live with, okay, in this year, with nothing, bad music videos and nothing going on. We had to live with people writing a think piece every other day saying Reputation tour flop, Reputation tour not selling out, Reputation tour going to be the worst, like most empty tour ever. What happened to that? What happened to that? Sold out every night. Attendance records broken. Tour receives rave reviews, many people complimenting the production elements, how it feels bigger than the 1989 tour and more complicated in its staging. And I definitely did feel that.
I did feel that. And you know what's really weird is that I feel like there's always been, like, every era, but Reputation specifically, like, there was a lot of people who were trying to be like, she's over, it's flopped. I mean, have we been mm-hmm. saying that this whole 2018 episode? Perhaps. But the truth is,
at the time we weren't saying it.
It's relative to Taylor. Anybody mm-hmm. else, and this is a massive year.
Greatest year of their career.
Right.
Camila Cabello would die for this.
She would be over the moon for this.
Literally be everything to her. But this tour felt very much like it was for the fans, and it's hard to describe if you weren't there. I know people get so annoyed when we say that, but she was like very inaccessible during Reputation, like so much more remote than before. And then on tour, it really seemed like there was a little bit of old Taylor peeking through, and it was literally like watching her heal from like the wounds of Snakegate in real time, like just the affirmation and the love of the crowd. We know she needs to be clapped for. Other like Tinkerbell, she'll die. If we don't clap, she'll die. And we clapped.
I wouldn't say this about every tour, but I would say that Reputation was a tour that she really like needed to do. I think it was exactly what she needed in her career, and also like for her mentally. I think it was good for her also to like, if she was on tour, then she wasn't wasting away in the house on the Heath. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I think that was really good for
which
her.
Which she did every other moment that she wasn't on tour.
Right.
And I also, mean, this was her shortest tour ever of all time. Like, it was like 54 shows. And right. comparatively, the Eras tour is 130 plus and counting. 1989 was like 80 something. And that was considered short. Reputation was a really brief but like impactful and large tour. So I think it gave her like the more chill schedule that she wanted while also still being like an incredible achievement.
It's also interesting that this is the tour that we had before Eras, and there's nothing else that happened before Eras, because by contrast, Reputation really felt like almost intimate, and it almost felt like only mm-hmm. a small number of people have gotten to see it, whereas with Eras, it's like your dentist is going to Eras, you're the doctor who I had when I got back from Seattle. Because of my
too.
Fucking tonsillitis. She was like, oh, I was in Seattle. I was like, what the fuck? Do you think that anybody was going, I was at the rep tour? No, there's a very small number of people.
But also, in Ireland, she couldn't sell out the second night of the rep tour. They were giving away tickets for free on the street.
I should have been there. I would have been like, give me a ticket, baby. Let me
give
in.
Give me 10.
Yep.
Give me 10. I need to sprawl out. I need mm-hmm. to lie down and enjoy this show.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep.
But it was also really, I think, stupid that people were suggesting that she wouldn't be able to pack a stadium, because Taylor Swift has been playing stadiums literally since the Fearless tour.
Right.
She did yep. Gillette on the Fearless, her first concert tour ever. Every right. The Red tour had like 6, 8, 7, 8, 9. When she was in Australia, she only played stadiums. Hello, what? It was just hateration. It was plain and simple, pure hateration.
Yeah, it was hateration. She's been doing it forever. Or it's like, you know, she was playing Gillette Stadium before anybody ever ripped the microphone out of her hands. People don't know that. She was booked
period.
At Gillette before anybody
ever took
a microphone.
Why do you think she loves a rain show?
Yeah.
That's where it all started.
That's where
that
it all started.
That was the nexus of events.
Gillette Stadium.
And what happened on the first night of this tour? One Ms. Katy Perry sends Taylor Swift a literal olive branch. This was the Treaty of Versailles. It was the reconciliation of a generation. Apparently, in the letter that she wrote, she had been trying to do this for some time, but had gone ignored. And a source said, Katy told friends if Taylor didn't accept this apology, she would keep trying because she is done holding on to the past and she wants to be the change in today's society. She wants to set a good example for women. So she planned to never give up if that's what it took. This is giving my career is over and I'm going to KMS if you don't forgive me right now. please undo the hex. Please, 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 please. Please, can I change the prophecy? Please, please. I'm on my knees to change the prophecy.
It's also giving, like, why are you being so sanctimonious about, like, patching up a friendship that went sour? Do you think when I patch up a friendship with somebody who I haven't spoken to in 5 years, if I log on and I say, this is about girlhood and women and all this other stuff? No. I just say, you know
what?
Why
does it have to be about that?
I'm an asshole. Sorry.
We beefed and it's over.
We beefed. It's over. That's it.
But it also is Taylor's power to somehow convince Katie via Tay Voodoo and stonewalling that it's her job to fix it. This is crazy.
It really is crazy because, like, especially, like, I guess you could argue we don't know what they said to each other behind closed doors. For all we know, Katie was like, fuck you, cunt, or something, something that would really offend Taylor, you know? But, like, I don't doubtful. I think we know what happened, and
passive aggression, well, ego. That to me, that's what really fueled that feud. But it's over. It's over. So now it's May. It's just still Tor and Katz on the Instagram. She brings out Shawn Mendes to sing "There's Nothing Holding Me Back," Selena Gomez to sing "Hands to Myself." This is all in LA, I believe. And Troye Sivan to sing "My."
No, who this did is you my villain origin story. Who do you think I got?
Shawn Mendes.
Take a guess. I got Shawn Mendes. And the next night, which I almost bought nosebleeds for, was Salala. I was like, that's it. It's done. I'm over it. I'm over
and that
it.
That performance was everything. That performance was, really was good. Literally Taylor singing the, I mean, I could, but why would I want to? That clip.
Oh, she sounds like,
I have goosebumps. It's everything to me.
It was pure
evil.
And
when she was like, if you listen really, like, closely, you'll hear something. And it's like, yeah, Queen of Whisper singing. Because it was like, Selena. Like the ha ha from "Hands to Myself." That's what was like floating around through the stadium. I love the my performance in LA because it's like Taylor showing Troye how to do the pop star strut, and he's like doing a really good job.
Okay,
they're just strutting.
I have to be honest. They're just strutting. My performance.
I love that song. I love that song. I was very happy to see this.
Well, period.
He was having his Bleachella moment.
He looked really cute with that hair, by the way. That was like one of his looks. I thought he looked really good.
That tee is so cute as well. I love that white tee.
Yeah.
So then we go to the Billboard Music Awards. She's wearing a blush-colored gown from Versace. I don't hate it, but I don't get it. It's not really in keeping with the Reputation era. The color washes her out, and she's got helmet hair.
Here's my thing. She loves... You know what I've noticed? Like, if you look back and, like, if we could make a compilation of all these kinds of specific looks, Mama loves a Grecian Roman goddess moment. She loves to say, welcome to the Roman Empire. And sometimes there are better dresses than this one. This one, I think, is okay. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I think it's not the worst. All right. No.
Donatella said it took over 800 hours to make. Waste of time. Waste of time.
I hate it when they say that.
You couldn't come up with something else.
And it's like the stupidest dress. It's like, now you should have kept that to
yourself. It's like a sheet. It's like a sheet with one sparkle on it.
And there better be a payment plan in place because these people need to get paid.
Girl. And it didn't make any sense. It was her first red carpet appearance of the era. Her literal first like public outing for 2 years. And this was just like a complete like what? Like where is the Huntress?
And
there
are
some gorgeous. Oh, yeah. What do I know?
You know what people would say about this look today? They'd be like, she was teasing Lover. That's what they'd literally say.
I'm going to lose it. This is our last year free of aggressive Easter egging, by the way, because I've started the show notes for 2019, and that is when she really made it fucking annoying. Like, there actually is almost no Easter egging going on in 2018. And
thank
you for that.
Thank God.
She likes to act like the Easter egging – the modern version is something she's been doing forever, and it's just not. It's something that only started in 2019, and you will learn that very soon. We're going to show you. We're going to show you and explain the difference live in London, actually. So see you there. Unless you can't get a ticket because it's sold out. She wins 2 awards this evening, and she makes a speech for winning the top female artist about how she feels very misunderstood, but her fans make her feel misunderstood. Master of the parasocial relationship. She sits with her temporary bestie, Camila Cabello, and Camila's fake boyfriend, Shawn Mendes. She also meets BTS backstage, and everyone is very excited about that. And then she posts a picture on Instagram with my favorite mentally ill person, Tyra Banks.
Classic. Queen.
What else are you going to do with Tyra Banks other than take a picture with her?
Yep, exactly.
For some God knows what reason, Taylor invites Perez Hilton to meet her backstage during the Reputation tour. And she tells him that her next album will be out before I'm 30. That is a huge scoop. And she gave it to this irrelevant flop ass bitch. I can't, you know how I feel about Perez.
She has historically been since I was 11 so, years old. Yeah. She has been so nice to him. And I don't know why. He's scared, evil.
Maybe? Scared.
Maybe. I mean, it hasn't, like, he said some of, he leaked Shake It Off. No. He leaked details about Look What You Made Me Do. He's done all kinds of shit.
Did he leak it or did she give him that info to leak and generate hype? Now that I'm thinking about it, like, there's no goddamn reason why. I mean, I guess it is like keep your enemies close, I suppose, is the like thought with that. But bringing him to the show, taking pictures with him publicly, associating, like, when you're on your girl boss shit, associating with Perez Hilton is a really interesting thing to do, because Perez Hilton was like the number one tormentor of young women in Hollywood for about 12 years. Like, aggressively, a lot of people said that they were like shoved into addiction because of the things that he wrote about them. He used to draw penises on like Britney Spears' face while calling her fat. Like, the stuff that he did is so vile. And I have never seen an actual coherent apology from him. So to see always posted up next to him with a big smile on her face, I'm like, girl.
And no. You know, it's one thing to like use him for press, but like, I remember this and it gags me every time I remember it. She hand painted a little ukulele or guitar for Perez Hilton's
his child. Yeah,
his child. Like, for that guy? It blows my mind every time.
For this guy, it's crazy to me. And also, his cultural power was very weak at this point. Like, his website had fallen off. Like, he was not a mover and a shaker.
Gen Z does not know who that fucking guy is.
No, and they shouldn't. And they would hate him. If he tried to do any of that shit that he did now, they would kill him. Like, he would be the first victim of a cancellation. As he should. He's vile. Like, truly vile. So, disappointing moment from Taylor there. She performs at the Radio 1 Big Weekend in Swansea. I actually love this performance. This is when she gets really sweaty and she goes off stage and she's giving an interview. And that guy is like, you look like you need a shower. And she was like, actually, I do. And you could tell she was kind of gagged that someone said something like that to her. But she thought it was funny, but she was kind of gagged. And then everyone went after the presenter for saying that to her on Twitter.
Wasn't he saying it?
She was
like
sweating.
Oh, yeah, you performed so good. You performed so well. Like, that was a lot. You look like you need a shower because you worked
and
so hard.
And she did. She was melting.
People are so dumb.
She was in a lace corset in the UK summer. Hello? It was not... that was not just any old day for her. But I love this performance. That bodysuit, was that the same tour bodysuit or was it a different one? I think it was the same one.
I think it's the same
one. Oh, it was cunt. It was so cunt. I think it was, we got to see it in the daylight. That's what was so gag about it all. It looked so, so good. And then she actually managed to do the can't come to the phone right now because she's dead lyric. And as predicted, the crowd went fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. And she learned. That was the day she learned.
And then she plays Delicate in the wrong key and it sounds terrible.
You win some, you lose some.
This is a mixed bag year. So then it's June and the Babe music video comes out and it is a serve, okay? Anytime the red wig comes on, people die and clap and cheer. She loves a red wig.
She loves a red wig. I really feel like in a different universe, in her mind, she thinks, in another life... I'm a redhead.
when she imagines herself actually taking a different path in life, she's like doing marketing at a typewriter in Mad Men. Yeah. Like, she is Joan, whatever her last name is from Mad Men. That is who she is in her mind.
And you know what? She looks good.
And she did it great. She loves a red wig. Playing the other woman in this Sugarland production about 1950s infidelity, sashaying through the office like a vixen, having a breakdown on the kitchen floor with mascara running down her face. Gorgina.
We have to cheer. I love the GIF sets that used to get on Tumblr of that part where she's on the, wah, Gorgina.
That was before Tumblr really died. before it really died. That was like our last hurrah. Yeah. That was our last good moment. She puts on her very last that I can recall 13 on her hand for her 13th Reputation Stadium tour. Andrea draws it on for her and it's posted on Instagram, her doing that. We love to see it. And it looks like she's using eyeliner or lip liner instead of Sharpie. I hate that. Come on, girl. You need to stain your hand like the rest of us.
Mm. You have to be just like us. And you fall asleep with your hand like this and you wake up and the 13 is on your forehead.
Except it says 31. Niall Horan comes out to sing Slow Hands. I think that's a horrible song. I don't even know it. That's a bad song. I
couldn't tell you a lyric.
He has no good music. And Robbie Williams to sing Angels. Big, big deal in the UK.
Who is that?
Both Adele. He is like a, he's like a singer my mom loved. He was in a boy band. And then he went solo. And he actually has some good music. You know Jessica Simpson, Angels? You know that song?
No. The long pause. Okay,
well then, never mind. Never mind. So there are two people in attendance, Adele and J.K. Rowling, and Taylor posts Polaroids with them on Instagram. I think this was pre-Turfgate, right? It had to have been pre-Turfgate.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling was not on her real turf grind until, like, I want to say a little bit pre-pandemic, like maybe Lover era.
Took her that long.
Or even, like, COVID. There might have been rumblings, but, like, she wasn't on Twitter going, I won't even repeat some of the things she
whatever,
said.
Yeah, you know, whatever she was saying.
Whatever she says.
At this point, yeah, it wasn't like Taylor meeting Perez Hilton. At this point, J.K. Rowling was still just the old kooky lady who wrote magical words. July. Yeah. The fourth party can't come to the phone right now. She's literally dead. Taylor and the turkey jet set to Turks and Caicos to celebrate the fourth. She's papped in a striped bikini, strolling the beach with a cocktail in her hand. They're canoodling in the water. These are kind of major because we never fucking saw them. So when these photos came out, first of all, we were gagged. And then then the moralism started. She clearly doesn't want to be seen. How dare you circulate these photos? This is when that really started. Like, she didn't want to be seen. Why are you posting these photos? Et cetera, et cetera.
And
meanwhile, they're
the same
out there. Whether you tweet them or not, it doesn't make a fucking difference. You didn't take the picture, did you?
It's the same thing with the Travis pictures that came out of them in the Bahamas or wherever. It's like, well, I saw them.
They're in public. I can't unsee. And also, the thing I agree with is like, okay, the pink wig photo. Now, that was clearly like a private moment that was leaked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't circulate that.
That was a stolen image.
But on the beach in a bikini with a cocktail in public, I'm sorry. Like, it's fair game. She wasn't hiding either. So
no. She wasn't putting a towel over her head or anything. I mean, I think she knew that her pictures were being taken. And it's not even like the issue. It doesn't – I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. But what bothers me is like the moralizing. And like if you even open your eye and look upon this image, you are evil. How dare you do this?
You're evil.
How dare you? And it's like, well, I mean – because I saw it. I can't unsee it.
I'm just sharing with the class.
Yeah.
It's been seen.
Yeah.
So Taylor then covers Harper's Bazaar with Patty Boyd and interviews her about being the muse. And I thought this was a really clever way to understand how it feels to be the subject of the art through the lens of the person who's so often like courting a muse. But I really love this shoot. It's shot by Alex Labormirsky. I don't know how to pronounce his name. But it's definitely a pop nod to like Britpop, mod style. I love the shot of them together with like their sunnies and the page boy caps, black turtlenecks. I love this vibe.
Absolutely, Gorgina. I really love it when she does that kind of like another really good photo shoot that is kind of similar to this one. It was, I think, Lover era where she's in socks. Do you remember the socks? Mm-hmm. The image where she's oh, I'm just wearing my socks.
Oh, yes.
That
I'm just
kind
putting
of
myself
hair,
on.
That like 70s almost kind of like bump it kind of hair.
Everything.
Gorgina.
Everything.
I love that.
Where
look
they photoshopped
so
the shit out of her face and it served cunt.
And it's her cunt. And she's got her contour on. Barely even looks like her.
Yeah. Literally, who is that? But it's Slade the House Down Boots. I know the essence of Taylor Swift when I see her. Mm-hmm. So then she descends on New York City for her most photographed period of the year, which is literally like 6 days, six different outfits. And this was the most she had ever been doing anything in that year. I mean, this is infamous as like the scene of a lot of the scenes from Miss Americana, where she's walking in and out of the apartment and getting into the car and having these conversations. You may notice this. She talks about her body image with the paparazzi taking pictures. This to me is a big series of fashion L's. Anytime now, she wears a cat t-shirt, it's an unforgivable action for me.
This is my question. This is one of the links that wouldn't work. And I was like, I think I know what period, but like, describe an outfit to me.
Oh,
is it the time period where she wore
boho suede boots and the pink sunglasses, the long sleeve romper thing. Sure. You know this. The New York City like tourist sweatshirt that she wore. That was kind of cute. There's a heinous, hideous like palm tree red, like weird fitting.
That's a bad one.
High-waisted short. That's a bad not
one.
Good.
With the boot. That's a bad one. Yeah.
Not good. I liked the off-the-shoulder plaid shirt and the off-the-shoulder white shirt that she wears when she's getting into the car.
Anytime off-the-shoulder, I'm like a big sucker for anything off-the-shoulder. I love. So, Gorgina.
That's Ariana Grande's bag.
Oh, yeah. She always looks so cute and off the shoulder.
She always giving shoulder.
The thing about like the Reputation era paparazzi shots is that they're so few that like with a couple of details, I can recall the image pretty quick. So it's like I can remember most of the outfits.
There aren't a lot of them.
Bleachella outfits really are in my brain.
There's actually more. There's more to Bleachella than I remembered. When I was looking back and going through it, I was like, oh, like there's some stuff here that I've never seen before.
There are some, like, the 1989, even into Bleachella looks, is like anything could have happened. Because there was just
so much.
She was everywhere. I remember my favorites and I remember my least favorites. Anything in the middle that
and
was just like, cute.
Was kind of the same. Last year.
Yeah.
End of last year. Out and about serving cunt every day. Let's go back to that.
I miss that. I miss her. Well, maybe she'll be back in the summer.
Come back, mama.
Maybe she'll be back.
Please. Fresh out the slammer. We need to see it.
Fresh out the slammer.
She is very rarely papped with friends anymore. Stark contrast to the 1989 era, but there is a regular character, one Ms. Gigi Hadid. I want to know what she knows. She knows everything.
It all. She knows every detail.
And she'll never tell until we give her the truth serum.
Yep.
And then she'll speak. Taylor's also back and forth to the studio as well during this brief stint in New York City. And we all know what she was working on. The groundbreaking first single of her next record. But we can't skip ahead too fast. Just know that she was also plotting her political awakening. Do with that what you will. And of course, where's Joe while all this is happening? Where is he?
Yeah. I think that's a fair question. Where's Joe when me was
nowhere
being put down onto track? I find that so odd. And it's like,
also on tour, where was he? Because he was at a couple shows. Did he just stay backstage the entire time and not watch her? Like, what was the thinking? Or was he just not there? And
I mean,
left
it's
her
also
alone?
Like, by contrast, it's like she will bring anybody into the studio. Why the hell was Dylan O'Brien there? And
open
Joe
door
just
policy.
Like, won't? I find that weird. I don't know. I mean, we
I
could
like
we've
his ass.
So many times we've gone over and over and over this. It's just that was behavior
Rat.
I don't understand. Rat.
And we never will.
And we never will.
She posts a selfie saying, just found out Delicate is number one on pop radio. And this is like my favorite Taylor meme of all time. She's like holding the camera really high up and like doing a stupid face. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And now people just like edit stupid things onto it. It's like, hello, LGBT community. Whatever it is. Like, I just farted, like something stupid.
Another favorite of mine is when she's holding the wine glass.
Oh, like, that's a good one, too. Or just her like weird portrait mode selfies during this period of time as well. They were so scary. They were just like really high contrast. Like, her eyes were super blue and her blush was like red.
Something about the makeup this era, too. Like, she was really into like a lot of like.
Color.
I wouldn't say contour, but like she was coloring herself up a little bit, and like it was kind of different.
Painted face. It was the era of
she
a lot
painted.
Of makeup.
That's what.
And
it was.
I will say she did it in a very tasteful Taylor Swift way. Like it never looked too like when I look back on it now, it looks heavier than normal, but it doesn't look dated. Whereas you look at photos of Kylie Jenner and you're like, "Ma'am, you have an orange streak in the middle of your face."
Yeah.
And 12 pairs of eyelashes.
And that's none of my business. It's none of my business.
That's none of my business. And also, you know what? There's another rain show in Gillette Stadium. We cheered, but we also started crying because this month we learned that Taylor Swift will be starring in Cats, the musical. Girl.
Wait a second. Wait. Girl. We learned that she will be in Cats, the musical. You know, the thing about Cats is like, I don't purport myself to be a musical theater person at all. I'm not going to, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But I thought the consensus was that trying to make Cats into a movie again, by the way. Again.
They did it already. It's a bad idea. There's a first movie.
To my knowledge, there is. I remember
everyone freaking out and being like, this is going to fucking suck. And I was like, why? Because I didn't know anything about Cats. You know me, I'm anti-musical. So I didn't even know what the plot of it was. And then my confusing fool's errand was trying to get it out of people. I was like, tell me what the plot of Cat is quickly. And everybody would be like, there isn't one. And I'd be like, that can't be. They're making it into a movie. There's a plot. Tell me what the plot is. And then I could never get a straight answer. And then I'd say, who's Bomb Ballerina? What does she do? Like, what is it, a big part? And I could never get a fucking answer. And I should have known. I should have known. And I read the Wikipedia page and it made no sense either. And I was like, I guess I'll just, you know, see in the movie. It'll make sense then. Girl. No, it didn't.
Yeah. Even as somebody who's like not I'm not really into like Broadway and all that kind of stuff, Cats, what can I say? You either
all the Broadway people were like, of all the movies, why? Yeah. They were like, of all the Andrew Lloyd Webber things to do, why this? And it was Taylor, of course, signed up for it. This was the year of Cat. This was
well,
the
you
year,
know what?
As we said, Democat. She was a Democrat.
It's a goddamn shame that, you know, it was at this point 15 years prior that Chicago was starring Renee Zellweger and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Because Taylor Swift as Roxy Hart, I would have been seated. But it never would have happened. But it never would have happened.
She wouldn't have got the part. She wouldn't have got the part.
She wouldn't have gotten the part.
The only thing she can do is be a cat with furry boobs. That is the only thing that she's capable of doing. And she learned. She hasn't tried since.
That's the kind of thing that it's like, if I was
tried since.
People don't forget an image of you as a cat shaking your kitty cat tits. People don't forget.
I'll never forget that.
It's burned into my brain. I'm sorry.
But I will say, I mean, we'll have to get to this in the next episode, but like, she comes off a lot better than many of the other people in that movie, I will say.
Well, she's actually
a
performer.
She fared well. She's also only in it for like 4 minutes. She's literally in it with James Corden and Rebel Wilson. Girl. Okay, off topic. Sorry. August and September combined into one little section because nothing happened. Carly Kloss attends the Eras tour. Nobody cheered. Not a single person. I didn't cheer. Did you cheer? Were you cheering?
This is so funny. When I was reading this, I was like, why are... August and September 2018, Carly Kloss attending the Eras tour, and it's just a segue
I'm
to say, however,
the barrel.
However, Lena Dunham was at the Reputation tour, and Zach cheered.
Everyone needs to know, Lena. Lena.
Lena. It's I like saw one of my Lena favorite videos of all time.
I screamed her name, and she
and Lena was like,
"Did she hear? I don't know. She probably did." She was. She just looked like a lady. She didn't look like a celebrity. She was just like
just
a lady.
Like she was a person
and
at a show.
Ignoring her, but I'm screaming.
Except for
Lena.
Who were you with? Was that when you were by yourself?
Yes.
And so there wasn't like somebody there going like, "Can you?"
And I was drenched. I was in a poncho. Everybody around me was like, "What are you doing?" And I had my phone out in the rain to film her. Okay. That's enough. Lena talk.
Okay.
And she didn't even give me a smile. She didn't even give me a smile. She's papped leaving her apartment in camo pants and hoop earrings, and this is everything to me.
Yeah. This is a particularly good one. I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. Reputation, hit or miss. And when she hits hard. It's like bullseye. I love her in camo.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh,
it's always
more.
A serve.
More of that,
more,
please.
More, more.
What
more.
If we did a camo bodysuit for Reputation, a version as an alternate? That would be incredible.
Cadet Kelly.
On the Eras tour. Let's do
we
it.
Need
Give
that.
It to me.
We need Cadet Kelly. We need it right now.
And sparkles.
Yeah.
Sparkles. Camo, sparkles. What's not to like? What's not to like?
Exactly.
She also loved a lace-up platform combat boot. She really did. It was boots.
Gorgeous.
It wasn't cunty boot.
She
it was
boot.
I'm going to kill you boot.
Boot,
it was,
boot,
I'm going on a hike
boot.
Boot, lace up.
Hiking
Rep tour is headed to Canada. Taylor performed Summer of 69 with Bryan Adams. Cool. I don't care.
You know what? Some people were cheering more than others. I tell you what, I was a cheerer. I was cheering
you
full
were.
Volume. I love that song.
I was neutral. I was doing like a golf clap, you know? I was like, all right. Okay.
Well, you know what really pisses me off is that there's some vault somewhere where all the high quality videos of these performances
Give
are kept.
Me the full performance of Curious with Hayley Kiyoko and Hands to Myself right now.
And why are you hiding them? What are you hiding?
What's to hide?
Yeah,
what are you
just put it
of?
On. Literally, just put it on YouTube right now. We're waiting.
I think she probably messed up all the choreography in Curious, other than that one part that she really nailed.
Oh, so now
that's
we
why
get
she
punished.
Posted the 40-second clip.
So now
clip.
We get punished.
Well, it's like the retro all over again.
Yeah.
So this is a boring month. We're hearing about AMA nominations. Taylor's continuing to break attendance records throughout the tour. Love to see it. She gets papped with Joe out to dinner in London. He looks the notes I wrote, he looks fuming and Taylor looks like a scared dog, TBH. She's wearing a pioneer woman's dress and a heinous black belt. I have a way
is
with words.
Is this? These are the pictures where she's in the green dress, right? It's that one. Is that what I'm? Is that what
I
you're
think
talking
so.
About? The green dress with the belt.
Taylor
and
Pictures
he's in
is
blue.
Down, by the way. Have you noticed that it's been down?
Yeah.
Yes, it's green. It's the green with the big ass belt.
These pictures are like some to me when I think of Joe and Taylor out together. These are the pictures that I think of. Weirdly,
well, and she looks
I don't know why.
Like a scared dog. She
and
looks
she
scared.
Yeah,
she
I wonder
was.
Sometimes
that's,
how often she would like if they would go out and there'd be paparazzi. If she'd be thinking in her head, like. He's going to be unhappy. You know what I mean? That's kind of what her face gives.
You
in
can
a lot
see it
of
in her face because he's giving, I don't want to be here. And she's giving,
right.
I'm trying not to draw even more attention to myself, even though like I literally can't do anything about this.
Right.
Like no matter
no
how small
live.
I make myself, I'm still the yep. biggest woman in the world.
Right.
And my man it can't handle that. Let's talk about more things that Joe Alwyn robbed us of. Taylor attends the favorite premiere, and it is a fucking crime that we don't have a red carpet image of her in this fucking gown. Curse you and your cow and your family and your town and everything you own, Joe, for robbing us of this with your deranged need for privacy.
This is like one of my favorite Reputation looks,
like
too,
fuming.
And it's a goddamn shame. Yeah,
I'm
no, it's a
fuming.
Beautiful everything
literally.
In the... In the
robbed.
LQs, you can tell. Hair, face, gown,
oh.
cunt.
Highlight. Tan. Spray tan.
And we don't get to see it. And we don't
and
get
we
to
get,
see it.
We get a high quality photo of him being a fucking Madame Tussauds figure on the red carpet. But we get a picture of Taylor Swift taken with a long lens through the back entrance of the car park. Death.
That's not right.
Death.
And another dress that he robbed of us. Do you remember in Lover, like pre-Lover, she was posting Instagram pictures? The dress. Tube top dress.
Oh, I know what dress you're talking about.
You know which one I'm talking
just
about.
Sitting.
If I don't get
just
HQ,
sitting. That's all we
give
got.
Give me that dress.
Just
give me
sitting.
The dress.
Stand
give
up. Stand up.
Show us the gown.
Stand up right now. Oh, I'm so mad.
It's so wrong.
He's nothing, but we know that. October, in an Instagram video with our Lord and Savior, Meredith Swift, who is maybe dead, some people are guessing, Taylor announces that she'll be performing I Did Something Bad as the opening performer at the AMAs. I think we were all expecting a music video and the single treatment, but that was not what was going on here.
I'm still mystified that I Did Something Bad was never a single. I don't know if it's just because like she did Look What You Made Me Do. And she was like, it can only be one or the other, which I guess is
I think it
fair.
Was a Better Man All Too Well situation.
Yeah. And but I still would have really appreciated a little something-something. Because the visuals
the
that
time,
we got.
I was like, maybe if she started with I Did Something Bad, everything would have gone differently.
I felt that way too. And now, like in hindsight, I would never take that away from Look What You Made Me Do.
And I would
but
never trust.
Time,
I've never not trust her. Mm-hmm.
At the time,
also,
I was like,
I Did Something Bad was just a more like, Look What You Made Me Do was a really weird song. It is a really weird song. I Did Something Bad is like a more straightforward pop song. And it bangs.
And Look What You Made Me Do, I feel like it only got better with age. Like it really has aged well.
I think it didn't debut with a lot of timelessness, if that makes sense.
No. It wasn't of the zeitgeist.
Mm-mm.
And
it
now,
is now,
well,
it is the zeitgeist,
evergreen.
Mama.
Yep.
It is the zeitgeist. So in October, she's wrapping up the North American leg of the tour in Arlington, Texas, where the Netflix film is shot. This is actually, again, a very short tour. After this, she only has 2 Tokyo shows and 5 Australian shows to go, less than half the length of her other tours. So it is very surprising how brief it was. She was also not playing when she said, I'm sick of touring. And while she's wrapping up the tour on October 5th, Taylor Swift comes out as a Democrat.
Happy birthday, Madeline. Happy birthday, Zach, too. Happy early birthday.
Happy birthday, Month Snakes. So this Happy is what she birthday. Said. It was a photo of her serving cunt in a Polaroid, of course. I'm writing this post. I'll never forget this photo. It's burned into my brain.
It's burned into my brain. I'm writing this post
about the upcoming midterm elections on November 6th, in which I'll be voting in the state of Tennessee. In the past, I've been reluctant to publicly voice my political opinions, but due to several events in my life and in the world in the past 2 years, such as meeting Perez Hilton, I feel very differently about that now. I always have and always will cast my vote based on which candidate will protect and fight for the human rights I believe we all deserve in this country. I believe in the fight for LGBTQ rights, and that any form of discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender is wrong. I believe that the systemic racism we still see in this country towards people of color is terrifying, sickening, and prevalent. I cannot vote for someone who will not be willing to fight for dignity for all Americans, no matter their skin color, gender, or who they love. I mean, she's spinning. Running for Senate in the state of Tennessee is a woman named Marsha Blackburn. Here we go. Here we go. As much as I have in the past and would like to continue voting for women in office, I cannot support Marsha Blackburn. Her voting record in Congress appalls and terrifies me. She voted against equal pay for women. She voted against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which attempts to protect women from domestic violence, stalking, and date rape, which was a very pertinent thing for Taylor Swift. She believes businesses have a right to refuse service to gay couples. She also believes they should not have the right to marry. These are not my Tennessee values. I will be voting for Phil Bresden, who will lose for Senate, and Jim Cooper for House of Representatives. Please, please educate yourself on the candidates running in your state and vote based on who most closely represents your values. For a lot of us, we may never find a candidate or party with whom we agree 100% on every issue, but we have to vote anyway. So many intelligent, thoughtful, and self-possessed people have turned 18 in the past 2 years and now have the right and privilege to make their vote count. But first, you need to register, which is quick and easy to do. October 9th is the last day to register in the state of Tennessee. Go to vote.org and you can find all the info. Happy voting. So before we talk about it, let's discuss the impact of it. Marsha Blackburn gets snake bombed in her Instagram comments. Donald Trump says that he likes her music about 25% less now, which was This was an iconic moment in pop culture history. Just the way he delivered that as well was very funny. Not too bad. Only 25% less? Her power. Many of her contemporaries applaud her efforts. Roxane Gay is one of them. Likely thing for her to do. Her most conservative fans weren't exactly thrilled with this, declaring that this had ended her career. Nice try, bozos. Again, if you say Taylor Swift is over, she comes back stronger than a 90s trend. That's just the lay of the land. Apparently, vote.org saw a huge surge of new registrations with 65,000 people after Taylor's post. Madeline, thoughts?
This is so interesting because, like, in hindsight, you'd think, like, if somebody, especially somebody wasn't there, like, oh my god, this is such a big deal. What did I think at the time? I probably thought Mason.
Okay.
I probably thought it's my birthday soon. I don't know. I wasn't really tuned in all the way. But I remember thinking, if anything, I thought this was great. Like, I didn't think there was anything wrong with what she said. I thought that it was very clear. It was very, I am not your Aryan goddess. It was very, I say, end violence against women. It was very, I say, gay should be able to marry.
It was very centrist, honestly. Like, it was centered left, I feel, because she definitely was making a point to be like, I'm not telling you who to vote for, which is probably the smartest thing for her to do as a public figure. I think that, like, if Taylor's going to do politics, this is how she should do it. That's just my opinion. Like, just let people know, give people information, share the resources, and let them come up with it themselves. We don't need to be doing op-eds. Nobody wants that.
I think for, like, somebody like Taylor just being like, I think that you vote. Shouldn't – I don't think that you should Register be able to get AR-15s. I don't think that – I don't think – I really
this
don't think that –
crazy liberal.
I don't
this
think women
Antifa
should be
– member over here.
And that's what they think. Anything
Gay
that's like
people
center
are
left.
Human. Oh, my God. Why don't you go live in the demilitarized zone?
Yeah. Antifa scum.
She
it's just
kills
like,
me. But this is when she says always posting, she's literally referring to this specific moment. Like, this was – it was very funny in Miss Americana and very myopic to watch how, like, this was everything to her. And this was, like, radical and, like, a huge shift. When really, like, at the time, this was kind of the bare minimum. This was a time in pop culture where, like, everything was very politically charged. And, like, every celebrity was – taking a side, I suppose. And it didn't even really feel like she was taking a side. She was just kind of like, I'm not your Aryan goddess.
Well, also, I feel like it was one thing when she was in Nashville, but she's been in Hollywood at this point for a long time, and Hollywood is historically liberal.
Longer than she was in Nashville. Her peers, yeah, it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah. Her peers were all saying the exact same shit. My question is, like,
who was surprised by that? Clearly, some people were. Some of her conservative fans were upset.
Well, there was the conservative fans, and then, of course, there was people who were, like, Taylor aunties who just loved the thought that she was secretly, like, a Nazi. And there are people who still say that. There are people who still have those pictures from Katy Perry's fucking birthday party in 2009.
Oh, my God. And they bring them out? Jesus Christ. And they bring them out. I haven't seen that photo in a while.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like,
if that's all you can get her for, sorry, doll. Try again.
Yeah.
Try again. Then we get to the AMAs. Taylor's first public appearance as an out and proud Democrat. And she's in her Mirabel outfit. I want to like this so bad. I love glitter. I love shiny things. But this doesn't fit her. It doesn't fit. And the boots are like a bridge too far. The high neck and the long sleeve is a lot. What do you think?
The silence. I feel like this is like one of the most iconic outfits. I don't know if it's just because it became like the Miss Americana outfit. Like, it's on in the
iconic outfits.
I'm just saying.
You, like, when, in the crowd at the Eras tour when Taylor said always posting. I'm like, one of the most iconic outfits.
It's memorable.
It is memorable.
It's memorable. I don't
and
hate it.
You know
it.
What?
I also
served cunt in the Miss Americana trailer. That's when it looked best.
In the elevator? Oh, she was shining, shining just for you.
But on the carpet, it was like, you are a disco ball. Like a literal disco
ball. It's not one of my favorite. But have you seen one of my favorite whenever
worst.
I think this picture?
It's not her worst.
The meme where it has Miley Cyrus'
face. Of course.
Face photo. I love that picture.
There were some
now
good
that's
memes
an
this
image.
Year. Oh, if there was nothing else,
well, we had
there
nothing
were some
else
good
going.
Memes.
We had nothing
we
else
had to make our own
us.
Fun.
We did.
We had to make our own fun.
This was
she
also
opens
the start.
The show. Oh, yeah, what?
I was going to say, this was the start of We Are Swifties. You know, like all those memes of like Rose McGowan and like all that kind of shit. There was a lot of memes.
Oh,
I have a
yeah.
lot of Lover memes in my phone, way more than any other era.
Lover was really good. Dumbest fan of the year. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That never gets old to me.
Classic.
So she opens the show with the Reputation tour version of I Did Something Bad. We clapped and cheered. This is her. She definitely seems more confident at the end of this era on live TV than at the beginning of it. Like when you compare her performance here to SNL doing Ready For It, she definitely seems more confident. Karen the Snake makes an appearance. There's fireworks. It's good. Vocally, is it her best performance? No, but live TV is not kind to her, but it's not her worst.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, live TV, it's a rare soul. It's a rare soul who gets on live TV and delivers
Miley
flawlessly.
Cyrus.
Miley, Beyonce usually does
but
pretty
good.
But
not when she sat next to Taylor.
Not
when they're doing 15 at the Grammys.
Not when she did 15.
Then.
And also, not the, I think it was Stand Up to Cancer with
well,
like all
VMAs,
the celebrities.
That didn't really go well either, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well,
Miley's a little hit and miss too.
It's hard to serve when you're doing fucking We Can't Stop with Robin Thicke.
Masturbating with the foam finger.
That. Yeah.
That's hard. It's hard
you
to do.
You can't serve. Yeah.
Taylor and Selena have a shared trauma about performing live on TV, except Selena is much worse at it than Taylor. But that's neither here nor there.
I think Selena, we will never see Selena grace the stage at an award show.
And we
again.
Shouldn't.
I think she said.
Honestly,
no.
We shouldn't. Just, we need to just be doing those YouTube performances where it's like edited and mixed. We don't need that anymore.
If
although,
I had
for
done
the mess, I would love to see it again, to see AJ's reaction.
Yeah. Just if I had done time. That Lose You to Love Me performance, I would have gone into a rock and never come out. I would
she
have been
did,
Patrick
basically.
Star.
She like, literally said cricket. She had to do a whole album release after that.
And you know what, Queen? I support you
oh,
no matter what.
Queen.
I
do,
still am
but
there
that was
screaming.
Hard.
I'm still
I'm
there screaming.
I'm glad I'm not like a full-time Selena Barb. Sabarb, thank God. she wins. Taylor wins Artist of the Year, and she encourages her fans to vote during this.
Right.
This is her lane. Tell people to vote. She also wins Female Pop Artist, Pop Album, and Tour. These awards are like fake to me. Like these are not real awards. Like they do a deal with TruePayne. They're like, if Taylor gets a minimum of 3 awards, she will attend. And then she attends. She's not showing up if she's not winning a fucking fake trophy. It's not happening. To an awards show like this? No.
Please.
She actually begins her torturous waterboarding Easter egg nonsense by saying this while winning for Reputation. I always look at albums as chapters in my life. And I'm so, to the fans, I'm so happy that you like this one. I'm so happy that this means that you like this one. But I have to be really honest with you about something. I'm even more excited for the next chapter. Actually, this wasn't an Easter egg. This was just like, I'm going to let you guys know that I have an album coming out. And we cheered.
And we deserve to know that. We deserved it. Oh, I love when she does stuff like that. I mean,
we suffered through boring this year. We needed it.
I just like to know stuff like that. I just like to know, like, I'm working on the next album. I don't need a date. I don't need anything. Mm-hmm. I don't need a clue. Just to hear I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm happy. That means that I can look forward to something.
It puts my mind in a place of restfulness that I don't have when I don't know that she's not working on something.
You see? It's like, what's she doing? Like, what's she doing right now? Well, I mean, I think now she's
like always doing, it seems like she's always fucking posting. She's always writing music. She never stops.
She never stops.
32 like songs of posting. So yeah, we liked this moment. She is best friends with Camila at this award show, hugging, whispering, gossiping. Where's the love now? Camila was at Coachella. Taylor didn't say hi. Taylor hasn't put I love it on her Instagram story. I need to know. Like, that is a big question mark to me. There are certain people that it's like, as soon as they fall off, Taylor's not interested anymore. I hate to say it. It's a pattern.
Well,
specifically
female
musicians. She lets the models and the actresses in her life flop as hard as they want, and they get kept around. Yeah, Billie Aldridge?
With Camila, I would really like to know, because to me, Camila is like the perfect candidate for forever friendship.
She's the sidekick. But Taylor has just supplanted her with Sabrina. Like, she's treating Sabrina the same way she treated Camila. It's so weird.
And you know what? I'm going to say
my little pocket pop star.
I see the vision a lot more with Sabrina. I see the little Polly Pocket. That's Polly Pocket.
Maybe Taylor got tired of trying to make Camila happen. Maybe that's what it was.
Did you see the rumor?
She gave it her all. She really did give it her all.
Yeah. It's just a rumor. And I honestly don't even know if I think it's true, but there was a rumor that Taylor's going to be on Sabrina's upcoming record.
Oh, I saw that.
Now, if she did that, that's how you know. Taylor has selected her. This is my Polly Pocket.
Anointed her. Yep. This is her. We're doing a collab.
Because she doesn't.
She's already been on tour.
Yeah, like she, if you think about it, she's never appeared.
To be honest, I don't think she will. There's always a rumor. There was a rumor that her and Celine, she was going to be on Rare. Like, this always happens.
She's never really been on another Pop Girls record, if you think about it. She's had people on her records, and she's gone to Big Red Machine. She's gone to The National. She's gone to Ed Sheeran. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really show up on the, you know, I think that's interesting to note. I would be cheering. I'd be, thank God. Sabrina will come. Some streams.
So at the end of this month, she is hosting a U.S. tour wrap party and inviting her bandmates and dancers. Then she posts an extremely high contrast selfie where her eyes are scary blue and it looks like she's doing some rosacea. Again, we talked about this earlier. This trend of taking selfies in portrait mode and scaring everyone would continue until the next year. Actually, until 2020. Throughout this month, she is still campaigning against Marsha Blackburn on Instagram, reminding people to vote and posting a picture with Mama Swift on voting day in Nashville. Doesn't work. Doesn't work.
This is a message that Taylor Swift cannot make.
My team is losing. Battle of Bruises.
Taylor Swift cannot make Tennessee blue. She doesn't have that. She doesn't have the power to end
racism. She said, only the young can run. And they walked. They walked. Yeah, they stood still. Walked. Sorry, girl. Sorry, doll. In November and December, she's in Australia living her best life. And then she announces something major. And this is actually quite the doozy to end the year on. With an Instagram post captioned, "My New Home," she writes, "I'm ecstatic to announce that my musical home will be Republic Records and Universal Music Group. Over the years, Sir Lucian Grange and Monty Lipman have been such incredible partners. It's so thrilling to me that they and the Universal Music team will be my label family moving forward. It's also incredibly exciting to know that I'll own all of my master recordings that I make from now on. It's really important to me to see eye to eye with a label regarding the future of our industry. I feel so motivated by new opportunities created by the streaming world and the ever-changing landscape of our industry. I also feel strongly that streaming was founded on and continues to thrive based on the magic created by artists, writers, and producers. There was one condition that meant more to me than, oh, actually, I want to pause here. So this thing about like the way that she's talking about streaming here is so radically different to how she talked about streaming when she was with Big Machine. Like the way that she talked about streaming with Big Machine was like, they are like rats. They want to steal all our money. Music has value. She was just repeating Scott Borchetta's like his like cry. And her, she's changed her tune a lot here. She's saying the same thing, being like, you know, artists need to be compensated fairly, but she is not denying that streaming is the future of music anymore. And that really gave me pause about like, did Taylor get some bad business advice on her war against streaming? Because she lost that one pretty spectacularly. And I have a feeling that that was largely Scott driven.
Well, I agree, because if you think about it, Taylor has been really good about having her finger on the pulse of like what's going. She was very good about social media. Like she knew social media was the future, et cetera, et cetera. So it would seem strange for me for her to not recognize that streaming was the future of music, and you can bang your pot all you want about artists should be paid.
It was like, you really think that you're that powerful that you can take down something that is changing the whole industry, not just like pop girls. Like no one is powerful, was powerful enough to stop. It's like trying to stop the iPhone, you know, like it was just never going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So I think she took some bad advice on that. That's actually when I was reading this back, I was like, oh, there's a big narrative pivot now. Also, instead of being combative, it's like, why don't I try and be cooperative and see if that yields better results? So then she goes on to say, as part of my new contract with Universal, I ask that any sale of their Spotify shares result in a distribution of money to their artists, non-recoupable. They have generously agreed to this at what I believe will be much better terms than paid out previously by any other major labels. I see this as a sign that we are headed towards positive change for creators, a goal I'm never going to stop trying to help achieve in whatever ways I can. I want to express my heartfelt thanks to Scott Borchetta for believing in me as a 14-year-old and guiding me through over a decade of work I will always be so proud of. I'm extremely grateful to get to do what I love, especially with the people I've been fortunate enough to work with. The best thing I've been lucky enough to receive is the dedication, trust, and loyalty of the fans who have cared about the words and the melodies that I've written. My biggest goal is to make you proud moving forward. I can't wait to show you what I'm making next. Love, Taylor. This was a moment. This was a huge moment. And also at this time, keep in mind, we think it's kosher. She's thanked Scott. I think she even posted a picture with him, maybe even in this like post. And there are rumors swirling also at this time that Universal is about to acquire Big Machine Group after they sign Taylor so that Taylor can own her masters. And I think that maybe Taylor thought that's what was going to happen. She was done so fucking wrong.
And that, she's done. I say, he will never rest. And when I find him,
we'll never let him.
And you're last. And you're last.
Literally forever. There are also rumors that she will buy them herself. And this new deal is reported to be worth $200 million. And I know this is crazy, but that seems kind of low.
It does, right?
That's not a lot of money. Low. I'm like, what? But they, I think because she owns her masters, she stands to make way more. Like $200 million was probably just her like signing bonus.
Right.
Girl.
I mean, the masters themselves were worth $330 million, I thought. Like,
we
if I remember, that's a
going
number that sticks
over,
in my brain.
Yeah. We need to be going over the books. They need to get us in the room and we need to be magnifying glass, reading the contracts. Yep. Like, I need to know what's going on.
I need to know.
So the Rep Tour concludes in Tokyo with a botched version of Mine. Brava, Taylor Swift. She forgets the words. She forgets the words. And she is sneakily pictured at the Mary Queen of Scots premiere. Joe is dumb. Where's his publicist? You have nothing going on other than the fact that you're dating Taylor Swift. You think you might show off your one thing that you have going for you. She's down bad. She's so down bad.
She is.
He's okay for her to post the trailer of that movie on her Instagram, but she's not allowed to walk the carpet with him.
Makes you think, doesn't it? It really makes you think.
I thought we all got crowns.
I thought this was Mary Queen, Queen of Scots.
Yeah. I thought this was a classy party.
Women?
What is going on here? On Taylor's 29th birthday, she posts the trailer for the Netflix Reputation movie, and it's a serve. And the tour poster.
Was that the first that we had any idea that there was a movie being made? Do you know? I feel like I heard rumblings.
Filmed. We knew because it said right. Arlington, they had the sign up being like, if you're here, you're consenting to being filmed.
Right. But I don't think I knew it was a documentary.
No. Well, no. Oh, wait. No. Wait. Was this for Miss? No, no, no. I think this was for the Reputation tour, not Miss Americana.
Oh,
it was
okay.
for Reputation, not okay. Miss Americana.
Okay.
We knew that was coming. The poster for the Reputation tour. Hello. She's just in the bodysuit.
Gorgina.
Silhouetted.
Gorgina.
I'm terrified of that. Yes, mama.
Absolutely.
And it is set to premiere on New Year's Eve. She posts a clip of All Too Well and she says how special it is that this song has been changed for her. I actually love that performance of All Too Well. Really good.
On Reputation?
Mm-hmm. In the film. It's good.
It's in the movie?
Yes. She like blows her nose first. Fake fan.
Wait a second. I don't remember. All Too Well is in the movie?
It's the surprise song.
I don't remember this. Do I skip it? I don't remember.
You're like, I heard this one before.
Yeah.
I played that one on the iPod.
This ain't rep. I
heard that.
Get this off.
Taylor is, to conclude the year, the unannounced surprise guest performing Delicate during Hayley Kiyoko's LA Coalition set. She looks Gorgina in a black dinner jacket dress and glittery tights with her hair straight. I mean, Gorgina. Diva.
She's giving Eras Tour. Eras Tour before there even was an Eras Tour. That's my pick.
Yeah. Me, every time I see something from the past. Wow, this is so Eras Tour.
This is so Eras. Oh, my God.
Which is about the past.
I can't even fathom life before Eras at this point. It's like, what did we do before? Like, literally, what did we talk about?
I wasn't a person.
No.
I wasn't a person. But that, you know what? That concludes 2018. For a boring year, we managed to drum up 2 hours of content.
And you know what? That's on that.
Who's doing it like us?
Who's doing it like us?
Who's doing it like that? Every single album can't do this. Let me tell you that.
Oh.
They can't. They could never.
Say that.
I mean, you have to listen 2 hours all the way in to catch that shade.
Yeah.
But you know, you need to reward us by going to the Patreon, patreon.com/Riftologist. What are you doing? Like, if you're not there, you're missing out on so much. You could be hearing from us weekly. You could hear us ripping into our nemesis in more detail. I'm sure we do that behind the paywall. We love to have a gossip,
a whole segment just for kikiing.
And right. I mean, we've now officially made it to 2019. I think that might be our most highly anticipated episode. I mean, we said that about 2017, but I think this is more because it's like me and you need to calm down and just nonsense.
Well, it's the classics. I can't believe we're here, to tell you the truth. It almost feels like it was just yesterday.
It only took us 5
How many years?
Years
yeah.
To get here, to get to 2018.
Yep.
You know what? We're not even, are we halfway there? I guess. I don't know
because the T is like, there's Folklore and Evermore.
2023
kind of slow years,
is 3 episodes.
2023 might be
easy.
Multiple. I mean, we could do a whole entire separate episode about just a month.
The whole 2023.
Yeah. The start
Evolution
of the era
2023.
Tour, then Maddie Healy, then the breakup.
It was everything.
Then Travis. Like, it's on and on and on and on. It never ends. Then Midnights.
And the next time that you listeners at home will be listening to an episode, a yearly episode, 2019 Part 1, what you're going to be hearing is us live on stage.
That's so weird.
In London, doing our show, which has yet to be written, so that's going to be a really interesting experience. I mentally had to get this out of the way to do this, to go on to 2019. So we're done, moving on, palate cleansed, it's fresh in my mind. And thank you for listening, divas.
Divas, thank you so much.
See you in 2019.
See you in 20.